Well, hey, it's time for Ask the Tech Guys. Yes, Leo Laporte here. I'm back, and I'm going to tell you which technology worked on vacation and which technology didn't.
And I'm Micah Sargent, still here, yes, and I am going to explain why Bluetooth is really not a good option for the smart home.
And then it's a fond farewell to one of Mad Magazine's greatest artists, Al Jaffe. Dick DiBartolo joins us with some memories. It's all coming up next on Ask the Tech Guys.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This is Ask the Tech Guys with Micah Sargent and Leo Laporte. Episode 1971, recorded Sunday, April 23rd, 2023. Sweet tea and pecan pie. Ask the Tech Guys is brought to you by Miro. Miro is your team's visual platform to connect, collaborate, and create together. Tap into a way to map processes, systems, and plans with the whole team. Get your first three boards for free to start creating your best work yet at Miro.com/podcast. And by Cisco Meraki. With employees working in different locations, providing a unified work experience seems as easy as herding cats. How do you rein in so many different moving parts? The Meraki Cloud Managed Network. Learn how your organization can make hybrid work work. Visit meraki.cisco.com/twit. And by ACI Learning. Our military uses some of the most advanced technology in the world, which makes you veterans uniquely qualified for IT and cybersecurity positions. To learn more about ACI Learning's premium training across audit, IT, and cybersecurity readiness, visit go.acilearning.com/twit. Well, hey, how are you? It's Leo and Micah. The Tech Guys show is on the air. And I've been gone. Did anything happen while I was gone?
Nothing big. I mean, other than Rosemary Orchard flying across the sea to join us.
Seat?
She sat in that very seat.
Oh, man.
Scott Wilkinson as well joined us. And Aunt Pruitt was here.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Thank all three of you for filling in. Really appreciate it. I'm a little mad at Scott.
Oh, yeah?
Well, he came over to my house while we were gone. He came over to look at our TV because I have that new QD OLED from Samsung.
Yes.
Beautiful TV. Beautiful. I really missed it while we were gone.
I can only imagine.
There's three technologies I missed while we were gone. The QD OLED TV.
Uh-huh.
The Toto washlet toilets.
Yes.
And the 8 sleep mattress.
Yep.
Those are the three things. Everything else, the coffee was better. Everything else was great. But I did miss those three things. Anyway, he came over and he couldn't figure it out. Disconnected stuff, unplugged the Apple TV. I guess the Apple TV was taking over. He didn't like that. Anyway, I came home. We're trying to watch Succession because apparently something happened and nothing.
You had to reconnect everything.
I said, what the hell did he put a frigga? It's fine. I figured it out pretty quick and I understand what his question was because it's a little weird the way the Xbox works on that. So he had to kind of disconnect the Xbox so he could play some, you know, his calibration DVDs. Thank you for doing that anyway, Scott. Appreciate it. I came back. All the settings had changed. For the better.
He was actually very impressed. You had a lot of the settings how he would have them already.
He found something that I didn't know existed called filmmaker mode. That must be a hidden menu he found.
Yeah, you have to hit up, down, up, down.
I'd
left,
never
right.
seen it. Yeah. And new TVs are starting to do this after many years of filmmakers and actors saying you're screwing up our video with this high frame rate stuff. So they put in this filmmaker mode, which is as the filmmaker intended it. Mm-hmm. And it does look much better. So thank you for doing that, Scott. So anyway, I'm back and I appreciate Scott and Aunt and Rosemary. I'm sorry I didn't get to meet Rosemary after
She's
all these
great.
Years. I am wearing...
You're wearing festive
socks. These are the socks that they hand out on the Portuguese airline tap.
Really?
Yeah. They hand out socks because the floor is dirty. So you put on their special socks. And I thought those are pretty good, but they're really thin and they're going to fall apart. So this is the one shot I get to wear them.
are lovely.
These are your tap socks for the week. Did Elon do anything in the last few days? I'm thinking now more and more. There was a great article in Politico, opinion piece, saying, "Don't fall for it, journalists." Mm-hmm. He's just—it's his way. He's even said, "I don't want to pay for advertising. I'm going to get attention any way I can. And the blue checks are gone. I lost mine.
Yep, same.
But then, because we're not paying Twitter blue, so we don't have the $8 a month blue checks. But then he realized, well, that probably is the wrong thing to do. So if you've got more than 1 million followers, apparently you're getting your blue checks back. And then Elon, this is nervy, but again, this is, and I don't want to give him any time, so I'm going to say this and be done. He said, well, I'll pay for it for Stephen King and LeBron James. Like, he's paying for it. He owns the company. He can say, turn on the blue check. I'm paying for it for them. Aren't I generous? $8 a month.
Well, especially as a means of trolling.
He's just an A.
Yeah.
You finish the sentence.
Yep. You finish it.
I don't like him. And I don't want to give him any more energy. So we're done.
All right. I actually do have a question for you. Before we left, we had a great episode where we covered what's in your bag. And we it kind of was a larger conversation about bags themselves. But you also showed us a lot of what you planned to take with you. And I, as someone who tends to way overpack and bring along a lot more than I actually need, always do my best to try to have a moment when I get back and say, what did I actually use while I was gone?
You're good. Lisa wants to do that too. She calls it a post-mortem. Like,
there you go.
Died.
Yeah, I know. I don't like that term. So I was literally this morning as I was showering, I thought, I'm not going to say post-mortem because I think that's such a grim term.
Let's do a post-mortem. We're not dead yet. there were some definite lessons learned. Mm-hmm. So one of the experiments was, am I going to bring a good camera? And Lisa said she was going to. She brought her OM Systems OM-1, which is a really nice Micro Four Thirds camera. She brought a very good lens. It's got a huge zoom range, so she could get from wide angle to really tight on the, you know, on the Michelangelo Pietà. She could zoom right into the nose hairs, and so she was able to get a very good picture of anything that we really needed. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, that's gonna let me off the hook. But the truth is, I did. And then so you remember, I was going to bring two things. I was going to bring my iPhone and use that as my primary camera, and the Insta360 X3 360 degree camera for, I thought, well, maybe because I'm so impressed with what our Anthony Nielsen, our chief lead editor, does with that. And the long stick, you know, that he has, and it looks like
a very long monopod.
Drone. Like, it's weird. Anyway, he's done such a good job, and he gave me some tips on how you do it. One of the things that's cool is you put use the Insta360, you tie it into your phone with their software, and then you can in post, you can edit it by pressing a button, holding a button, and then looking around with the phone within the video, and it remembers it.
Oh, that's cool.
And then you've got your video. So that's really neat.
Yeah.
So I did a few things. There were a few moments where having that 360 was incredible. Now you can't be doing that in St. Peter's Basilica, waving around the thing. They'll stop you right away. So there were a lot of places that would have been great. But where it was most useful, we're walking around the Palatine Hill in Rome, where, you know, the Roman Forum was, and the Jupiter, Church of Jupiter, and all of some amazing stuff. And I did get some very wonderful video. But the problem with the Insta, and everybody will say this, is it's no good. You got to post a lot of post editing. It's no good by itself. You can't just
the raw.
You could. And I will put these on my YouTube channel. I have a personal YouTube channel where I've put 360 stuff before. So if you want to walk through Rome and look around,
I could put on my.
Or even just with your mouse. With your mouse.
Oh, yeah. Point, so you have the option. Got it.
So, yeah. But if you had the VR glasses, it would be really cool. You could look around. And it'd be like you're with us. Mm-hmm. In fact, you can even hear our guide explaining stuff.
Oh, the audio's there as well.
Yeah, the audio is pretty good on the Insta.
I'll have to check that out.
What I found out, so the deal with the Insta, if you really want to understand the difference between an iPhone and a 360 camera, is you don't have to make the decision, and you're deferring the decision on what to look at with the 360. With the iPhone, you aim it. With any camera, you aim it and say, this is what I want to look at. Mm-hmm. This is what I want to see right now. With a 360, it takes everything. And then later, you decide.
God.
The problem is you have to then decide later. You know, you have to do that work.
It's like that camera that it's a very old camera. It had 30 different lenses on it. And it was supposed to be, you could take one photo and have all. But a lot of times you don't want to go back later, right? And try to figure it out. Yeah. You're capturing the moment for the moment right then.
Yeah. And it turns out the camera now, and I have an iPhone 14 Pro Max, as you do, the latest iPhone, is so good. I also, by the way, I brought the Samsung S23 Ultra. Didn't even end up using it that much because the camera on the iPhone is exactly what you want.
Yeah.
And so I think I took all the pictures I would have taken with a fancy camera. Maybe there's a few, like, you really want to make an artwork.
Yeah.
But but doing that takes you out of the scene, out of the moment, too, somewhat. So I was using it like an Instamatic, just recording what happened. And the image quality is great. I do have a few images that I'll probably post and do some post editing on and really make look nice because I think they're artistic. But I got them with the iPhone. They're fine. So there's some stuff with the Insta360. Probably, not unhappy I brought it for a few special occasions. But 99, I don't think I'll ever bring I've spent so much money on fancy cameras. And I don't think I'll ever need to do that again. I feel like this worked really, really well. So Lisa took some beautiful shots, which she loves to do post. Mm-hmm. Post-processing. I keep saying post and you're thinking, what is he talking about? She loves to do post-processing. So lifeoflisa.com is her blog. There's stuff there. We used Polar Steps, which I do recommend. I was very happy. This is an app that on your iPhone, you can use it on Android too, that uses the GPS on the iPhone, if you give it permission, and tracks your whole journey. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'll show you. It actually puts a track of the journey on a map, and then it will add the pictures, or you can manually add the pictures and text if you want, of that trip. And so now you have this wonderful, and I shared this publicly. This is available.
Yeah, where do people go to follow along?
Well, I think polarsteps.com/reports, I think, is what you would do.
That's easy.
But, and I think you can then see it without signing up. You may have to sign up. You can, okay. Mm-hmm. So you can see the trip. This was Lisbon to Rome, the most recent trip. And you can see the pictures. And almost all of these, some of these have leases, but almost all of them are with the iPhone. And they're snapshots. I agree. They're not, I'm not doing art. I wanted some snapshots. So I feel very happy about, there's food pictures.
Oh, this is so fun. You're quite literally seeing your journey take place. And you mentioned, too, that one of the benefits of Polar Steps is how easily you could then make this into a photo book, right?
Yeah, and this is free. Mm-hmm. And that's their monetization strategy, is that you will want to make a book out of this. So I'm going to, and we'll show that when it comes. I'm going to use this, but I also duplicated this into a very nice Apple journaling program called Day One. Highly recommend. By the way, the rumor came out after halfway through our trip. Gurman says, oh, yeah, and Apple's going to do its own journaling program in Sherlock Day One. I hope they don't, because Day One is
Day One's great.
Amazing. So I use Day One for, like, my personal journal with the similar pictures. And they also make books. Mm-hmm. So the problem with Polar Steps is you can't really caption each photo. You have a text block and then all the photos. I don't think. Maybe you can when you start making the book. But I'm going to play with both of them and make books from both of them, and you can be the judge of
which one
came out the best. So bottom line, I like having Polar Steps. I think that's a great way to share your trip. You don't have to go to somebody's house and bore them with a 5-hour slideshow. You could just do it online. And this, by the way, was the most richest church in Lisbon, in Portugal. We were talking about how much wealth the church had. It's amazing. Anyway, Polar Steps was great. iPhone was great. I didn't really need the Insta. I'm glad I brought it. I don't think I'll ever have to bring a fancy camera around again, unless I want to do this is a journey. I'm going to do street photography or something like that. So Aunt Pruitt's looking at me right now and he's not happy. Sorry.
That does make me wonder, though. You also brought, or you said you were going to bring, and that was a pretty hefty box that had your recording equipment in it.
Because there was some thought that I might have to, as an emergency, record some ads.
Also talked about maybe doing a little bit of audio recording.
And then Lisa and I thought we might want to kind of practice doing kind of a travelogue, like we might want to do that in our dotage. I didn't use any of that. In fact, when I did have to make a commercial last minute, I just used the Insta.
Oh.
Because the microphone's really good on it.
Oh, wow.
And that commercial aired on the Twit that Devendra hosted a couple of weeks ago. And it was just a quick little thing. But I think the audio was decent. I did bring a lot of stuff I did not need to bring, as always. And so I will probably not do that again. But that was more
that was more a business thing that I thought I might have to do some ads. Lisa and I both, when we recorded video, narrated it. She's been doing that. And so on her Instagram, fun. Lisa De Laporte, I think is the Instagram, you'll see she'll go, and now we're standing in front of the Pietà, and she'll do a whole thing. So she did it, and I did a little bit of that too, and I think those came out quite well too.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a market for it. I don't think so.
Not necessarily market, but there doesn't have to be. This can be just for enjoying the experience.
It's for, I realize it's really more for us.
Yeah.
And family. You know, my mom, who's too old now to go to Italy, but loves Italy. She loved it. And sorry about that.
That's think about the opportunity later on down the line for Michael to be able to look back on that, hear mom's voice, see the journeys that
I guess you have
on.
To think of posterity. Yeah. I don't think my kids have any, you know, I have 57,000 photos in my Apple Photos. I don't think they're going to be going through the old family photos. Maybe they will. I don't know.
I certainly wish that there were more of
your grandparents.
Yeah.
And imagine if you could see your great grandparents or your great grandparents.
No, I'm not going to talk about it because I'm going to get weepy. So never mind. I do wish that there were some things, because there were opportunities for me to capture things and I hadn't thought about it at the time.
Yeah, when you're young, you don't.
When Ant was on, he mentioned a really great thing is if you have the opportunity, sit down with a loved one and just record audio of a conversation to be able to play back.
That's problem the is, and this becomes the big issue is, well, okay, now I've got it. And I'm going to put it somewhere. How do I know it will be around?
Right.
Three generations.
Yeah.
And that's I think the cloud is a good solution, better than say putting stuff on zip disks, right? the cloud, at least they're going to keep there as long as they don't go out of business, they're going to keep renewing it. So you'll always be able to play it back over the internet. But will Google Photos or Apple Photos be around in 200 years? Probably not. This is the other thing you get going to ancient places like Rome and Lisbon. You really get a sense of a lot of stuff doesn't survive.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff doesn't survive. Mostly, if you wanted your photo album to be around for your great-great-great-grandchildren, you should make a giant palace and put the photos up, paint them, get a nice gold frame, and then... then
maybe invent a religion.
Invent a religion, and then they'll survive. Yeah. Anyway, I had a wonderful time. I missed y'all. It's great to be back.
It's good to have
you back.
And
let's do a tech guy show. What do you say? Ho! Hi, yo. I guess I should ask you. Okay, we've got what are we doing today, John Ashley? So he told me Dick DeBartolo's coming up.
Yes.
The Mad Magazine's maddest writer and our Gizwiz. He'll have his gadget of the week. We will talk next week with Rod Pyle. I hope you watch This Week in Space this week because they talked about what is it called? The rapid, what do you call that? Rapid
it.
Uncontrolled. Unplanned
disassembly. Yes.
The rapid unplanned disassembly of Starship. And I think very interesting because, of course, the immediate spin from SpaceX is, well, this is all good. We learned a lot. It's good news.
And
of course, they're going to launch this rocket hundreds of times before humans get into it, and no one was hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Although a few cameras were destroyed, I understand, right, John? I think some debris hit somebody. No major injuries, but so you know, but it was over the ocean, and so it was kind of if it's going to go wrong, this is how it should go wrong. But I got to say, that's a little bit of spin. I know John and everybody's saying, "Oh, this is still good." You don't build. How much did it cost to build that rocket, that specific one? You don't spend millions to blow it up. Ideally, blow up.
In an ideal world, you don't get to the point where you have to do the rapid unplanned disassembly.
But it's normal.
Right?
It's normal that these things happen.
So,
understand.
I was going to say, did they go into it planning on destroying it?
No.
Yeah.
But
they have new technology that they're working on. So this had a hydraulic system.
Yeah.
And they're switching to a different one.
Test it. Ideally, you test stuff without blowing it up. But some things you just have to do.
Yeah.
And you don't know. And, you know, we forget in the early days of NASA and the early days of rocketry, rockets blew up more often. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
In fact, John's just showing me. He said, well, how many rockets did NASA blow up? How many rockets did NASA blow up?
And sometimes with people in them, unfortunately.
Many.
Before
Mercury, before the very first. Yeah. All right. We're going to go to your questions in just a bit. That's all I have to say. It was a success. a qualified success. It's, you know, you have to do it, right? You have to do it. I just think it's a little bit of a spin to say, well, no, this is what we wanted to have happen. No, you didn't. Our show today is brought to you by Miro. You know, it was fun because we were in Spain where Joan Miro, the great artist that Miro inspired, names itself after, did his beautiful paintings. In fact, I wanted to do a Miro ad in front of Joan Miro painting. Miro is amazing, but Miro, like the artist, is in a way a blank canvas for you to put your ideas and thoughts on. You've been doing a great job. We have a Miro whiteboard for Ask the Tech Guys. And the problem I have with talking about Miro is I don't want to tell you what Miro is. You decide what Miro is.
Exactly. And you have to go try it to really get it. And it's fun. Amazing. It's fun to even play with, even if you're just one person, just to play with.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem it solves. It does solve a problem.
Yes.
We all have big teams. We have work together. We collaborate. Very few people work by themselves anymore, right? Sometimes that team is all in one place, but oftentimes it's not. People are remote. People are in Spain. They're all over the place. How do you keep a team together, coherent, working towards the same, in the same direction, communicating when there are different time zones? That's what Miro solves. It lets your team bring together in one place. You don't have to go from tab to tab or tool to tool. Brilliant ideas and important information along the way. Miro is a collaborative visual whiteboard that brings all of your great work together, no matter where you and your team are, whether you're working from home in a hybrid workspace, everything comes together in one place. And it's asynchronous. So you could put your brilliant idea there and your team 12 hours later could wake up and say, hey, that's a great idea, and add to it and collaborate. Saying it's a whiteboard really is too simple. Miro's capabilities are so much more. Best thing to do, go to Miro.com, Miro.com/podcast. You get your first three boards for free forever, so you can start working. And then go to the Miroverse, which is a collection of templates of the other Miro users have created just to get some inspiration. You could do so much with it. For instance, if your Zoom meetings are going long or getting a little disjointed, they have a timer built in, they have brainstorming, they have icebreakers, they have all sorts of ways for you to use that Zoom meeting more effectively. It's a visual collaboration tool packed with features the whole team can use to stay in touch, to build on each other's ideas, to create something innovative from everywhere. It'll shorten your time to launch. Your customers get what they need faster. The one tool. That's all. One tool, Miro, can bring your vision to life. Planning, researching, brainstorming, designing, feedback cycles. It can all live on a Miro board across teams. Even your customers, you can invite them. Say, what do you think? And faster input means faster outcomes. Miro users report the tool has increased their project delivery time by 29%. That's not all. Miro users report saving 80 hours per user per year. That's 2 full weeks. That's a full vacation per year just by streamlining the conversations. You know, everybody hates meetings. Miro makes meetings work. View and share the big picture overview in a cinch. You can zoom in and zoom out so you can see the 30,000 foot level or see every detail you need. Everyone gets a voice. Everyone can tap into that single source of truth. Your team remains engaged, invested, and happy. Miro, it's amazing. You like Kanban boards? They've got that. You like swim lane templates? They got a swim lane diagram. It's basically whatever you need to do your strategic planning, do your brainstorming, to do your product development, to invite comment. It's a way to map processes, systems, and plans with the whole team. Just try it. Three boards for free. Start working better today. Miro, Miro.com/podcast. I think you'll get the idea. But for me to tell you what it is, that would defeat the purpose. You have to figure it out. You get to see. You get to make it yours. Miro.com/podcast. We thank him so much for supporting Ask the Tech Guys. You ready to take a question?
Actually, we need to take Dickie D. Bartolo.
Is it time already?
It's 11:30. It's
holy
time already.
Cow. Hey, Dickie D.
Leo, how you doing?
I'm very well. I went to the land of your forefathers.
You went to Brooklyn?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hot. And you spent all 3 weeks there?
Have you ever been to Italy, Dick? Of course you have.
Yes.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
This whole time.
James took us there.
Yeah. We. Oh, that's right. Oh, he was Bill Gaines treated his employees right. Don't get any ideas.
Yes, exactly.
Why are you taking me away?
He used to do some amazing things. So we would take the whole Mad office to Italy?
Wow. Yeah, Africa, Japan. Wow. Yeah, wow. He was an amazing person.
So I found out something because I wrote a little blog post saying, I'm in Genoa, the land of my fathers. And my sister, who's been doing all this research because she's going to move to Italy, she said, no, that's the land of your stepfather. my grandmother, we call her Nani, Nona, right? Nona was born in the Veneto. I'm Venetian. I always thought I was a Genovese. But being a Venetian, you don't know what you are because
it's a melting pot.
Melting pot, yeah, from all over. So, Dick, where do your people come from?
My father is from Palermo.
Ah, nice. He's Siciliano.
Yeah. And my mother is second generation. Nice. I think her father was Sicily.
Yeah. So you got that Southern Italy. There's mafia roots there.
Oh, our hotel. We always have pecan pie and stuff like
pecan
that.
Pecan pie. That's the very famous Italian pecan pie.
Southern Italy.
That's what they have.
Sweet
tea and some pecan pie. Now, Dick joins us every week. Of course, he's Mad Magazine's maddest writer, has been for decades, but he also. Oh, and I haven't had the chance since I saw you last to commiserate the great Al Jaffe has passed away at 102, the guy who did the famous Mad fold ins for so many years.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And who at 100, when I called him on his birthday, said, so Dick, if you hear of any work, I don't want to do any mad stuff, but if you hear of anything that you think might be fun, let me know. And I said, Jaffe, you are my hero. A man at 100 who said, if you hear of any work, let me know.
Here is from the latest Mad. This is the 2023 Barnes and Noble edition, so it's a little thicker, is a fold-in, one of Al's fold-ins from years gone by. A robust economy. Can you get this over the head, over the shoulder? There we go. A robust economy usually gives our laborers a lot to cheer about, but when we take a closer look at how the U.S. industry works, we see that this jolly situation could also make life a bit drab. And I remember as a kid... I was not very good at this. You'd fold it and you'd find out it would say something and there you go. I don't know. You can't really. You have to do it yourself. You know what? Go to Barnes & Noble.
Yeah. Get the book.
So you talked to Al a couple of years ago when he was 100. Amazing fella. Any memories you want to share about Al Jaffe?
I posted this on Facebook because I think it's the funniest thing Jaffe ever said. When Bill was taking us on trips, he took us to Africa, okay? And there were about 25 of us. And behind the hotel, they built this huge campfire so people could go out there and sit around and chat. And the campfire would keep wild animals away because we were out in the middle of nowhere. And two people from another group came out and we were all talking. And then one of the people said, what is the staff of Mad Magazine doing in the middle of Africa?
Great question.
And Al said, we are on a tour of Puerto Rico booked by a really stupid travel agent.
Oh, I love it. Here it is. I folded it in while... Oh, this is very appropriate. A robot took his job. When you fold it in. You told me that when Mad first started, when Bill Gaines first started Mad, Playboy was very hot at the time, and they had the fold-out, and they didn't want to do a fold-out.
Yeah. Jaffe went to Bill and said, listen, let's just say we're a poor magazine. We can't afford a fold-out. All we can do is afford a fold-in. And
little did he know, he was creating a job for himself for the next 60 years.
Yes, exactly. He thought it was a one-time thing.
Oh, my gosh. Is there Al Jaffe, non-Mad Al Jaffe painting somewhere? There should be a gallery. Because he's talented.
He did a lot of ads. He did a he had his own set of books, I think, called the Tall Books. But the Snappy Answers book sold millions.
Snappy Answers,
Stupid Question.
Did he write that too, or did he just illustrate it?
No, he wrote that. He wrote that. Wow. Can I tell you one more quick question from Jaffe?
Yeah.
I said to Jaffe, we were having lunch at the Society of Illustrators. I said, how did you ever come up with Snappy Answers to Stupid Questions? And he said, one night the TV, the picture was going in and out and in and out. And I said to my son, you know, that's the roof antenna in the old days. And he said, the next day in the afternoon, I'm up there with, you know, baling wire and trying to get the antenna to stand up straight. And my son climbs up the ladder and looks at me and says, are you fixing the TV antenna? And I said, no, I murdered your mother and I'm stuffing her down the chimney.
That's a snappy answer.
Yes.
To a stupid question.
So my son slowly backed down. And then I thought, wait a minute.
That's great.
Maybe there's something here. Anyway,
that's great. The great Al Jaffe. What a talented artist. Well, I remember when you when I went to visit you on Madison Avenue to visit the old Mad offices, they have all the originals of these and they're huge, right?
They're big, so he can do that kind of minute detail. Illustration. Yeah.
And were they acrylics? They looked like paintings, right?
They were paintings.
Yeah.
Yes.
They were beautiful. I would buy one. They've had sales, I know. I'm sure DC will sell the whole lot.
They'll see anything that's not nailed there. And if it is, they'll unnail it and
sell the nails too.
Yes.
Did you bring us a gadget this week, Mr.
I
D?
Did. I brought what I think is a really neat gadget from Anchor Work, you know, one of the divisions of Anchor. And it is their new wireless mic system. And this is a spiffy little travel kit.
Ooh, look at that.
Yeah, it is really neat. And several things about it are great. First of all, if you decide you want to clip it on, you can clip it on. Or if you want, you can pull the clip off and then put the mic in front and put the clip behind your shirt. Because this is one...
Oh, that's a magnet. Yeah, super magnet. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So the one little clip can either be clip on or clip through clothing. Then at the top of the mic, there is a mic input where you can monitor sound so that, or you can
have a little earpiece coming out of it.
Yeah, exactly. Or you can plug in your own lavalier mic and use this as the transmitter.
Oh, that's a good idea.
That's cool. This would be great when I'm getting very bored in editorial meetings and I want to get up and walk away from the screen.
Yeah.
But it seems like this is more for influencers to record.
Yeah.
Lisa was doing this, right? Video.
This is going to be great at trick. But you know what? If you were saying that you were ill talking over your videos that you were recording, this is a way to do that.
And be on camera.
Yeah, and be on camera.
Yeah.
And then whether you are USB-C
or an
Apple device.
Yeah.
Oh, it has a lightning cord.
Nice.
That clips to the back of the transmitter.
So there's a receiver that goes.
This is the receiver.
Yeah, on your phone. And then you have the two microphones and all of that for $250.
Yeah. I think it's really neat. It comes in black and white.
Yeah. See, I would have taken that. If I'd had that, I would have taken that.
It's a nice.
You know what, Leo? It's been out only about 3 or 4 weeks now. I think it came out mid-March.
No, I know. I saw it, and I went, "Oh, I'm not going to have time to get it." I brought something that we had met the creators of it. They're former AKG engineers called Mike Me. That works sort of similar. It had a little lavalier and a bass unit, and then you could run their app on your phone, and it would record locally and all of that. I brought it, but I never ended up using it. This is actually seems much simpler.
Yeah. One other thing that you might like is that it also can record 7 hours of audio right on the mic.
Yes.
So that if you don't like your phone audio, you have backup audio within the mic, and it can record up to 7 hours.
The only thing I don't like about it is it's somewhat large and it has a big Anchor Work
yeah,
on the front of it. So it's a big ad for Anchor Work everywhere you use it, which I think is kind of annoying.
Well, there's always a magic marker.
Or you could put it inside your lapel maybe or something. There's probably ways. And then, as you said, you could use a lavalier mic that you wouldn't see that. But that's a, you know, that's kind of what I'd expect. It's not a professional tool. It's a tool for, you know, for bloggers.
For people like me.
I don't like that it doesn't tell me what it is capable of in terms of recording, what's the float, that kind of thing. I'm not seeing that anywhere.
Yeah, it's not a super pro device. It's for regular people. But I think it's a great idea. I like Anchor stuff, so I'm a fan.
And also, I paid $180 for a Mickey Mouse system.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this one is $250.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Very nice.
And has a lot more features.
In black or white?
Black or white.
Yeah. So I guess if you want, they showed you showed that little video of a woman using it with a white one, and it kind of blended into her clothing. So that's not so bad. Anchor Work, that's a new, there's the white one. Anchor Work's a new division of Anchor to do stuff for work, I guess.
Yeah, they make conference call machines and webcams and all sorts of stuff.
Dick DiBartolo, Mad's Maddest Writer, is giving you a chance to get an autographed copy of the Barnes & Noble. This is not some little skinny...
Well, actually, they'll be getting a copy of the June Mad issue.
You just sent it to us.
I just sent you.
This is $10 at Barnes & Noble, but I bet you're in this as well, right? You have to.
Actually, it just turned out to be that there's an article in there that Jaffe and I did.
Oh, nice.
And it was printed long before Jaffe passed on. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I'd like to see that. So what is we're playing for the June Mad magazine, and what are we playing? We're playing the What the Heck Is It contest.
The Heck Is It, exactly.
You go to gizwiz.biz and click the What the Heck Is It button, and you'll get a close-up of a gizmo or a gadget. Oh, look at this. There's two fold-ins in the Barnes & Noble edition. Well, that's a very nice thing. Extra fold-in. That's one of the advantages of a fold-in. Unlike a gatefold, you can put as many of them as you want.
Yes,
right?
Right.
Really fun. Al did this as well. A mad peek behind the scenes at a hospital with Larry Siegel. You know all these guys, don't you? It's kind of a...
Yeah.
What a bunch. What a talented bunch. What the heck is it? Go look. You have until, when does the contest run?
The end of this month. So you only have 8 days, 7 days, something. Yeah, 7 days.
There are 6 Mad magazines for the right answer. If there's more than 6 right answers, they'll have a drawing. And there's, 12 for the best wrong answer.
That is correct. Yes.
Judges' decisions are final.
That's right.
And Dick will sign it his very own self. He uses, is that a Sharpie you use there to sign that?
A little Sharpie, yeah.
Sharpie, not a big Sharpie.
Exactly. You know, it turned out that my blue check mark on Twitter never went away either.
You still have a blue check?
Yeah. Well, it turned out that it was on my monitor.
You just drew it yourself.
I just drew it myself years ago, and I thought, oh, it's still there.
It never went away.
No. And then my monitor went off, and I said, oh, it's still there.
That's one way to get the blue check.
Yeah, exactly.
Dickie D, we love you. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for
your safely home.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I didn't get COVID either, even though I was with many, many crowds, none of whom were wearing masks or doing anything sensible. But I, Lisa and I both masked up whenever we could and were careful and all of that stuff. But I guess COVID's over, you know? So there's the good news.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. That's right. Well, here's another Al Jaffe, low-tech inventions for everyday needs, like the nose hose. Okay. Oh, the no panic paper purveyor. I think actually, this was a joke, but actually they make these.
Yes, exactly.
That's not, somebody said, oh, that's a good idea.
Oh, got to get that.
Got to make that. What's the one?
Oh, there we are. That's me and Jaffe.
This is it. Mad's catalog of practical joke items. For the computer, you were always
Dickie Bartolo, Al Jaffe.
Sophisticated, yes. You're always up and with it on all the
a disc hidden stuff. Message from the CIA.
They call it an embarrassment of Richards department. Are you the Richard in the embarrassment of Richards?
Exactly. some of the long term writers have their own lead into stories, and an embarrassment of Richards is mine.
Oh, that's so great, Dickie Bartolo, a legend. So great to have you. Thank you for those memories of the great Al Jaffe.
Thank you guys for honoring him. I thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Passed away at 102. You know, that's a good long time. I'd be happy with 101, be honest. Right?
Yeah.
So you got an extra year. Thank you, Dickie.
Okay, buddy.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Take care. Bye-bye. See you next month.
See you next month. Every month we have Dick DiBartolo on. In fact, this is the good news. John Ashley, our producer, has worked hard, and he's managed to shoehorn would be the phrase. Yeah, let's get that right. Everybody in. And so next week, it's going to be, who is it going to be? It's going to be.
I will be joining us next week.
Who?
Rod.
I have earphones in. I can't
hear. Rod Pyle.
Rod Pyle from This Week of Space will be next week. You'd think those earphones would help.
You'd think.
But I can't hear a bloody thing. Let's take our first call. Sorry to keep you on hold for so long. Kenny, send to breakout room, right? I forgot how to do this. And then what? And then he just shows
log
up.
Log in with your password.
Hello?
Hey, Kenny.
Hi, Kenny.
Hey, Leo. How you doing?
We're great. Oh, I can tell where you are. You're in San Francisco.
Well, I did it because the Warriors are playing later on, so I got to show some love.
Are you a Bay Area guy?
Oh, no. Oh, no. You know me.
Where are you from, Kenny?
About those Lakers, man.
Oh, he's an L.A. guy. But you're going to support...
That's right.
You're going to support the Golden State Warriors, which is a ridiculous.
Yeah, I kind of like them. I've kind of always been a big fan of Steph Curry.
He's amazing.
Liked him. He's an amazing guy, and he doesn't get the credit that he deserves because of LeBron James, but I always liked him.
Steph is super talented, but he's a low-key individual, low-key personality, unlike LeBron. And I don't wonder if Steph got his blue check mark back. LeBron's
who knows?
Elon paid for it. What can we do for you, Kenny?
Well, I have a printer story and a question about a product that I believe that you have a sponsor. Are you still sponsoring ExpressVPN on Twitter?
I think we are. Yeah.
Yeah. They are sponsoring us. Yes.
You can tell if you go to twit.tv/sponsors. All the current sponsors are listed there. Yeah.
So the product that I bought was a AirCo 6 router.
Okay.
And I talked the last time to you guys about it, some network issues with YouTube TV. And I just figured, well, okay, I'm just going to get me one of those nice little routers to see if that was solved the problem. And it did.
Hmm.
It made a big impact. And the nice thing that I like about it is that it obviously comes with ExpressVPN built if you have an account, which I do, thank goodness. And it works really, really fast.
See, that's interesting. And I haven't had a chance to try it. We played with ExpressVPN installed on top of an older Linksys router, I think it was. But I haven't tried these new ExpressVPN Arco routers. And so that's the real question, right? When you use a VPN, you're going through additional servers, potentially can slow you down a lot. But your experience was usable.
Yes, it was. I just made some modifications on what type of VPN I wanted to use. I used Lightweight as the basis of it to make it run fast. So it's running pretty well, but I guess I'm just asked this. Why is it that most cable modems, like let's say you have an internet provider like Comcast or Spectrum, why is it that they just give you what I think are standard or subpar modems to where you feel like you're not really getting the full advantage? Why do you feel like you have to go and like I did and had to go buy a router for to take advantage of your fast service? Why?
I'm gonna hazard a guess. Nobody from Comcast talks to me.
Yeah.
Not even their reps. But I'm gonna hazard a guess. It's cheap. Right? They get one device. Yeah, it's all built in together. And they make money on it. Don't forget, they're gonna charge you somewhere between $5 and $10 a month to rent this crappy router cable modem combo.
Yeah.
And that's a profit. So what they're looking for is what's the cheapest box we can get that we can charge the most for. And that's kind of what you get. And the reason I always recommend against it, besides the fact that it's usually a hand-me-down, right? You rarely get a new, occasionally you get a new one. I've gotten new ones sometimes, but usually that was a previous customer who brought it in. So it's a hand-me-down. It's not necessarily going to be a state-of-the-art And it's going to be hard for you to configure. And to me, that's the biggest thing. I don't want any hardware in my house that I can't go into and set up and do what I need to do, right?
Yeah.
So what we always tell people, and Comcast will let you do this, almost all cable companies will let you do this, is they'll have a list of approved cable modems you can buy. Yeah, there's going to be an upfront expense, but you won't have the monthly rental fees. And by the way, there's a law because these guys are such scumbags that they were letting people buy their own cable modem and router and still charging them rent. So they're actually, they had to pass a federal law that said you cannot charge rent for something somebody's not using. Well, duh. So if they charge you, make sure you call them and say, no, that's against the law. You got to take that off my bill. So you're going to pay $100 or more for a cable modem. I recommend I use the CM1000 from...
Is it Aris?
Yeah. No, it's not Aris. Now I've forgotten the name. Anyway.
Oh, yeah, that is the Netgear, yeah.
Netgear, that's right.
Nighthawk.
Oh, Netgear.
Netgear CM1000. And then I use Ubiquiti routers. But this way you separate the two. The cable modem is going to do what it's going to do, which is take that signal coming into the wall over the coax and turn it into Ethernet. Then you have your own router, what's going to do what it's going to do, and it gives you the choice, right? So check and see which cable modem they allow, and then you can use any router. But the AirCove, that's a good in fact, there's Doug M in our chat room is saying he was using it in Vietnam. He used to live in Vietnam.
Oh, wow.
So it's a great little router. So they chose a good router, and you get the ExpressVPN built into it. I think it's a good deal. What are you looking over your shoulder for? Did somebody just bring you something?
Oh, no. I just was, I've been using that router because I'm trying to link everything together into my one device, and I'm having to share the cable modem with other members of my family. And so I was getting ready. I have an internet radio, and I'm about to switch from, believe it or not, this is going to sound silly, the Rick D's Weekly Top 40 to American Top 40 with Brian Seacrest. You know, I got the two Top 40 countdowns back to back after I get off the air.
Nice. Yeah.
But I mentioned a printer story. So I got a new job about a month ago. And, you know, I'm going to go back to college in the fall to try to go into IT. And right away, I was flexing my muscles because I had to connect printers, especially Wi-Fi printers. And so my first day with this particular job, I was toying around with a printer because I don't know if you're familiar with Zebra Technologies, but they're kind of like for logistics, like printing shipping labels and so forth. And I was struggling getting labels printed. And they told me that it was a Wi-Fi printer. So I figured, okay, I know what it is, connection issue. So I turned it off for about a minute or two to reset itself like everything else. And then within about 2 minutes later, it started to work. And I also got another Wi-Fi printer, one where it prints like paper documents. And like a good IT person, I have to take a look and see like the IP address and everything else, and found it and got it to go because we were struggling trying to get it to connect. And finally, I was able to do workarounds because we are still using Windows 10 as opposed to Windows 11 because companies are cheap like that. So I managed to make it work. So I'm flexing my IT muscles in preparation for going back into college to try to get my IT certificate in the fall.
Nice. You're also flexing your ask and answer questions on the radio muscle if you're fixing printers.
I like that because... Well, of course, I've retired from printer questions.
Yes.
And my colleague, Micah, who answers all the printer questions now, does not have to sweat this one. So that's
yeah, you solved it. Thank God.
In fact, let's nominate Kenny for all the future printer. We're going to call you, Kenny, anytime there's a printer.
Okay.
Okay. Hey, Kenny, great to talk to you. Keep up the good work.
You guys have a good show.
Thank you. You too. It's great to talk to Kenny, who is not from the Bay Area.
No.
Despite
just honoring us, I guess, which was very kind.
It's very sweet of him. But you know, you could put anything behind you. Well, no, not anything.
Well, please, yeah.
Take that back.
That almost had a little brogue to it. You could put anything behind you.
I think Kenny comes from Cottontown, Tennessee, right? I think he's actually from the Southeast. We should have asked him about sweet tea and pecan.
There we go.
Let's get another question in.
America's Sicily.
America's Sicily, the South. I have Guy on the line. Let's say hello to Guy, who's a football fan. What is that behind you, Guy?
That's this is Kyler Murray. Yesterday was Kyler Murray Day over at the land of the Boomer Sooner.
I think Kylo is a super talent. I like Kyler a lot.
Yeah. So yesterday we unveiled his Heisman statue, and nice. I was at spring game yesterday, and you know, it was a great day at Norman, Oklahoma, to celebrate a talented person who was number one drafted in the Oakland A's, which may be the Las Vegas A's soon. Or, you know, it was good.
Don't rub it in, okay? They're stealing all our teams.
Well, no, this is Las Vegas doing that. I don't know what's going on with Oakland.
Yeah, actually, really blame Oakland. Exactly. Blame Oakland.
Yeah. I was wanting to ask a question, and that was kind of, you know, I own my own home and everything, but, you know, I've got friends that live in apartment situations and also assisted living situations. And so my question is, as far as smart home tech, you know, that can't install into walls like lighting and lights, you know, you could probably get away with light bulbs and stuff, but is there like any kind of like Bluetooth connections if you don't have Wi-Fi availability, or, you know, stuff that you could apply to old fashioned light switches that would give you the opportunity to, I would say, you know, have a smart light to control from your phone, you know, what?
Yeah.
Like, I'm kind of curious about that.
Mike and I think we know that we can do this with me. Ready? Yeah. Clap on, clap off. No, that's not.
The clapper.
That doesn't even need Bluetooth.
Clap on, clap off.
Yeah.
So there are several companies that make products that you're talking about. And depending on what you're looking for exactly, you could get away with this. Philips Hue, many of their bulbs will work without a hub connected to your router.
But he still needs Wi-Fi.
No, not with this. If you don't use it in the bridge mode, it is just Bluetooth. Bluetooth communicates with the bulb.
I did not know that.
So it's new. Newer bulbs from Philips Hue, because of this exact reason, what you're talking about, there were some folks who wanted to be able to control their Philips Hue bulbs without needing to get the bridge. And so what they did was they made it possible for you to just Bluetooth communicate with them. Here is my warning, though. If this is a situation where someone is new to the smart home, I promise you are never going to convince them that the smart home is the way to go if you make them use Bluetooth connectivity to talk to the devices. When I walk over to a wall and I flip a switch, it instantly comes on. And when I flip it again, it instantly comes
off. So agree with you.
When I clap, the light comes on.
Even the clapper is more responsive.
So much more responsive. Bluetooth, you can sit there and watch it spin, and then the light shuts off. No one's going to, someone who's new to that, it's going to go, why would I do that instead of getting up and being able to turn it off right away?
They're not wrong.
Bluetooth is just, it's not the way.
But if you're older and you had mobility issues.
Yes. This is fair.
Yeah.
If it is a situation where otherwise it would take you so long to go and get the light turned off, or if you had some sort of mobility issues even outside of age, then Bluetooth could be the way. But here's the other thing. I have often found that Bluetooth also ends up being something where sometimes it just doesn't send the message that I want it to send to the device. And then 30 minutes later, suddenly my light is turning off because I had asked it to turn off 30 minutes ago.
That's terrible.
You're going to find yourself
that long.
Yes. Because essentially it got lost in translation, and then,
but eventually it got around to it.
And so I think that you are opening yourself up, as someone who seems to know a little bit about it, a lot of support requests from the folks who you're recommending these products to. And the thing you'll see, the main company now, or the main sort of group now, that is working on both Matter and Thread as these protocols, they are talking about how Bluetooth is good at one thing, and that they should have limited it to this one thing, which is the original onboarding of a device, whenever you're first adding a device to a network, that is where Bluetooth is great to come into play. But once the device has been added to the network over Wi-Fi, they want to get away from Bluetooth altogether, because I'm sure the number of support requests that Belkin in particular has gotten for its Waymo line of products, that's because terrible. Of the Bluetooth connectivity that just is garbage,
it's way more frustrating.
It's way more frustrating than if you're using anything else. There are some devices out there.
Have you ever heard of Third Reality?
Third Reality.
Somebody in our Discord.
Sounds like a boy band.
Yeah, it does. Somebody in our Discord says it's Heat the Furnace says, I use Third Reality light switches for that exact reason. Made for Amazon Zigbee smart switch. So it's a Zigbee, but Zigbee needs Wi-Fi. Or no, I guess it doesn't. Zigbee has its own kind of radio capability.
But this is the thing. I don't know how the phone.
Well, no, you do it with your Echo.
Okay. So yeah, if you're just using voice control, then it would work. Yeah. But
I do that all the time, by the way. I love that feature. In fact, when I came home, I don't know why, the kid had set the Hue lights to purple.
That would suggest, though, that the Echo would be able to process that.
By Wi-Fi, you need still Wi-Fi.
Yeah, you still need to have Wi-Fi.
So in places like assisted living and everything where they don't have a shared, or you can't hook up anything for security reasons for the Wi-Fi.
Well, they could use Bluetooth, but gosh, you know, that kind of latency would be really frustrating. I think for an older person, especially, because you do it, you go, I turn it off, and it didn't react, so you press it again. Now you've sent it a turn off, turn on, so it doesn't turn off. So you press it again. And I think that would be horrible. A fate worse than Waymo.
Absolutely. I'm seeing Third Reality does have a smart button. And so
And that uses Zigbee. So you press the button. So you're in bed. You can't get up. You got a button near the bed. You press the button. It turns the light off.
Yeah.
Communicating just using the Zigbee radio. That seems like that might be a good
way
to do it.
That might work.
Thank you, Mr. Furnace. Heat the Furnace.
See, that's the one problem that all of these opportunities have is you still have to have some interface for setting up these devices in the first place. And oftentimes that's a smartphone or a tablet. And the way that the smartphone or tablet communicates with the hub is over a Wi-Fi connection. I'm wondering, is there some way, Leo,
put this on me.
Well, no, you talk to Steve Gibson regularly.
Yes.
And Steve has talked in the past about ways to have, you know, kind of your own
secure
network.
Yeah.
This is tough.
Stacy Higginbotham really loves the Lutrons and the Casetas.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they do what he wants them to do, but they are smartphone control. Your folks don't have smartphones?
No, they have smartphones, you know. Okay. Well, actually, you know, they have an iPad.
iPad would work.
iPad and everything.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So if you can get a switch that you could basically have a home control on the iPad, regardless of whether you have Wi-Fi, you don't need Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
Can you do that, though? How is it going to connect?
Exactly.
It's not going to connect.
That it will.
I don't know.
Oh,
you found something?
Lutron.
Yes.
It's rather expensive, but it has what's called the Radio RA3 line.
Wow.
And it uses RF as its means of communicating with different.
The reason this is expensive, it's a whole home system.
Yeah.
So you put this in your house. You know, when you're building the house, you go in and this is very fancy.
Yeah, I don't
know. But they might have something less expensive than the Radio RA3.
You know what, listeners out there,
love to hear
if you've ever had this exact situation, a person in assisted living, something like that, let us know.
Or maybe in apartments too.
Well, see, but in apartments you can often have a conversation with your with the person from whom you're leasing, or the group from whom you're leasing, and a lot of times those leases just stipulate that things have to be the way they were when you leave as they were when you arrived. And so as long as when you leave, you put the right switches back in, then it's not as much of an issue. And a lot of times in an apartment, you'll have your own Wi-Fi. So it's not as difficult to pull off there. The big issue here is the fact that, as you're saying, it's hard to get that connectivity. Someone is also suggesting maybe like what you did with Abby T-Mobile home internet connection.
Oh, yeah.
And then you just have your own router essentially in your room.
Yeah, she has the Verizon base. Oh, it's Verizon. That worked really Verizon. Well. That's become very, these residential gateways from T-Mobile and Verizon become very popular and really are somewhat threatening to the big ISPs.
Yeah.
They're losing some business. So you understand the issue is you somehow have to wirelessly talk to this light bulb. So you, there's Wi-Fi, there's Bluetooth. They don't have Wi-Fi. Bluetooth, we've already decided, is a horror. So there now there are Zigbee, Z-Wave, and these other kind of proprietary wireless systems. Doesn't Hue have a proprietary wireless system?
They do, and it would be so great if you didn't have to have the router serving
as
the means of telling the... Because whenever you tap on your phone, the phone is talking to the router that then talks to the bridge.
And the
bridge talks to the light.
Hue does make, though, switches.
Yes, but the setup of them...
You have to set it up, yeah. Somebody will know this.
You know what? I'm going to do a test, though. I will do a test, so I hope you tune in every week, because I was just thinking... Their most recent line of remotes that Hue has, it is possible that a Bluetooth connection to set up the remote and then a Bluetooth connection to set up one of these new bulbs that uses Bluetooth would be a possibility, because Amazon actually will sell them in a pack where you get two bulbs or something like that. And then the remote, and you don't have to have a bridge in between them. So I'll see if that is a possibility, in which case that would take care of it. The only thing would be making sure that the family member or whomever did not turn off the switch on the wall, because it needs to be able to be powered, the lamp does. So yes,
Micah,
stay tuned for that.
Did you say that Matter is going to provide a solution for this kind of situation?
Not a solution, because again, the way that all of this is working is there needs to be some way for the app to communicate with those devices through some means. And so there needs to be an internet connection there. And even if you had something like the Echo set up as the means of communicating with them, that Echo does not do all of the voice processing locally on device. It does need to sometimes talk to the cloud. So when you said turn off the lights, if that's not something that it's processing locally, it's not going to be able to communicate and make that happen. So yeah, this is kind of a conundrum with how much Wi-Fi plays a role in the control aspect of it, even if it's not part of the connectivity aspect of it. But again, I'm going to test this out. I have an idea, and I'll report back next week with my findings.
And just this might be of value to you going forward, Guy, from the Wirecutter. And thank you to Rim and Jay Thothan, our IRC, who recommended this Wirecutter article, this best smart home devices to help aging in place.
That's great.
And this came out just a couple of weeks ago. So this might be, and they keep it up to date, this might be certainly something to look at to give you some ideas. Testing this stuff with older people who want to maintain their independence, which sounds like exactly what you're doing. And bless you, Guy, for doing that. That's really great.
Yeah, I'll look forward to all these comments in the show notes.
Yeah, we'll put it in the show notes. The Wirecutter article talks about X10. Which started this all back in the day, right? This is before anybody had Wi-Fi or Bluetooth.
Mm-hmm.
X10 had an RF-based system that would work actually quite well today.
Yeah,
exactly.
Wouldn't it be great?
I don't know if it's still around or how well it works. It probably moved to Wi-Fi like everybody else. Thank you, Guy. I appreciate the call.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Have a great day.
Well,
our show today brought to you by Meraki, talking about networking. Cisco, Meraki are the experts in cloud-based networking for hybrid work, whether your employees are working at home, at a cabin in the mountains. That sounds good, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe on a lounge chair at the beach. A cloud-managed network provides the same exceptional workspace experience no matter where your employees are. Look, you might as well. I mean, I know a lot of people say, no, we're going to have everybody come to work. It's not going to happen. Hybrid work is here to stay. But hybrid work works best in the cloud. Of course, it has perks for both employees and leaders. There are benefits. Workers can move faster. They can deliver better results. And as long as you've got a cloud-managed network, this is going to work great. And leaders, you can automate distributed operations. You can build more sustainable workspaces. You can proactively protect your network, too. I know that's a big concern. An IDG MarketPulse research report conducted for Meraki highlights top-tier opportunities in supporting hybrid work. Hybrid work This is actually a relief because we see all these headlines saying, no, you got to come to work. 78% of C-suite executives know hybrid work is the future and they're supporting it. Leaders want to drive collaboration forward while staying on top of boosting productivity and, of course, security. There are challenges in hybrid work. An IDG report raises the red flag about security, noting that 48% of leaders report cybersecurity threats as the primary obstacle to improving workforce experiences. Always on security monitoring is a big part of what makes Cisco Meraki's cloud managed network so awesome. It's Cisco, so you know security is a priority. IT can use apps from Meraki's vast ecosystem of partners, turnkey solutions built to work seamlessly with the Meraki cloud platform for asset tracking, location analytics, and more. Gather insights on how people are using the workspaces. In a smart space, environmental sensors can track activity and occupancy levels. You can stay on top of cleanliness, and you can become more efficient, right? Save money. Reserve workspaces based on vacancy and employee profiles. They call it hot desking, right? Allows employees to scout out a spot, settle in. It's easy for them to find a place, and it's easy for you to make sure you're maximizing your efficiency. Locations in restricted environments have security, too. They can be booked in advance. They can include time-based door access. You can't get in unless it's your turn. Mobile device management, of course. It's Cisco Meraki. Integrating devices and systems will allow your IT department to manage, update, and troubleshoot company-owned devices, even when the device and employee are not there. They're in a remote location. They're on that beach, right? Turn any space into a place of productivity and empower your organization with the same exceptional experience. No matter where they work with Meraki and the Cisco suite of technology, learn how your organization can make hybrid work work. Visit Meraki, M-E-R-A-K-I, meraki.cisco.com/twit. Thanks, Cisco Meraki, for their support of Ask the Tech Guys. Remember that address, meraki.cisco.com/twit. Just before I left, I got something in the mail. We talked about this, and I'm very excited. This is from Pimaroni. Pimaroni.
Oh,
this is a 7-color e-ink display. That's the image they left on there. So that's an actual image from the e-ink display. And on the back here, the connectors. This is the Inky Impression 7.3. It's a 7.3-inch, 8-color. E-ink display, 800 by 480 pixels. That's pretty exciting. I've got a Raspberry Pi here. There is an API. I'm going to have to do a little Python coding to get this working.
That's so exciting.
But what I was thinking, you know, we've got this clock here, but the resolution on the, it's kind of cool. That's the tidbit that you use at home and recommend. And I think that's great. We know you want us to have a clock on set. This has got the date and the time. But I was thinking this is about the same size. We could do something with this. And maybe we could have more than just the date and time in there. Maybe we could have, you know, club members, you know.
Oh, that'd be fun.
In real time, there's an API to that, a PHP API. So I'm going to have to do this little Python, little PHP. I'm probably going to get myself in trouble. But I'll give you an update. We'll do this and we'll show you as I progress. We're going to try to get this 7-color e-ink display, which would be a nice stable display. On set.
That's so cool. What's the refresh rate on that?
As fast as you want
it to be.
I don't know. You're not going to, you know, once a second's plenty, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a clock.
Yeah.
But I like the idea of getting the Club Twit members in there. What? We need a light. Yeah, you'd have to point a light at it because it's reflective. Well, we'll figure it out. You can see it now, right? There's enough light in here. Well, I'll do black letters on a white background. Yeah. I'm not going to make it too hard to read. But we'll see.
Yeah, we got to try it.
The fact that you can get these now color e-ink displays is
pretty
exciting.
That's so cool, yeah.
It's not the greatest color, but it's color. Anyway, I'll be playing with that. That'll be a project we'll be working on
that's
over the
fun.
Next few weeks on Ask the Tech Guys. So stay tuned. Pimoroni is the company. Pimaroni.
Pimaroni.
Pimaroni, I was going to say. I picked this up in Florence as I was traveling, but no, I mail ordered it. But it came in, unfortunately, just before I left, so I didn't get a chance to work on it. But I'm looking forward to that.
Leo, there is a great question
yes?
that came to us via email that's
let's do it.
Specific to you. No, it's okay. It's about Linux. So Robert sent in via email and said, welcome back, Leo.
Thank you.
I have a Lenovo E15 ThinkPad on which I have installed Linux, and I'm having a problem with battery life. I charge the battery to 90% and I turn it off. A week later, when I turn it on, the battery is down to around 30% or less. This battery drain was not as fast when I had Windows installed. I have also installed other distros of Linux and still seem to have the same issue. And then as a comparison, Robert mentions, I have a 2010 MacBook Air that I've also installed Linux on, Pop OS, and the battery drain is slow when turned off compared to the ThinkPad. Any idea on how to solve this issue?
Yes. So this is a very common complaint. Most laptops, including that Lenovo you have, are designed for Windows. And Windows has a lot of stuff running in the background to increase battery life. Mm-hmm. Puts just like your smartphone, it puts stuff to sleep, puts stuff in the background, stops stuff. Linux is not tuned specifically for that laptop, but you can tune it better. So there are a number of tools that I use. Probably if you're using Pop OS, might be why you're getting a better result in Pop OS. It's getting installed automatically. I use TLP, which is battery management and optimization utility. Most Linux distros, I believe, now install TLP automatically. But if you don't, you should install it and you should read up on it, because TLP is basically a manual way to do what Windows does automatically.
Ah.
So when Lenovo makes a laptop, they make their own driver software, they integrate with Windows, they do a lot of things to improve battery life. And it's a very common complaint when people are running Linux, they're not getting the same battery life they got on Windows. It's also the case that some of these laptops have terrible battery life no matter what they're running.
Yeah.
And it's an older laptop, so maybe the battery is less, you know, effective than it used to be. Nevertheless, try TLP. But I will also put this link in this article, which is a really good article, Make Tech Easier. It mentions a number of other programs, which I haven't used, like CPU Freak, Slimbook Battery, and so forth. In my opinion, TLP is all you need. And you probably have it installed, but you're going to want to configure it, because it doesn't necessarily give you the best performance out of the box. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things you could do, like put the PCI bus to sleep when it's not being used, things like that. So if you don't have it installed, you install TLP, read the instructions, use TLP to figure out what's going on, what's using up your juice. This particular problem is while it's asleep, right? So you really want to make sure that all the processes are going to sleep when your laptop is asleep, that the email isn't every 5 seconds
going, hey, is there more email?
Check in the email.
Yeah.
So there's also things you can do in those programs that will help. Email is a big problem with all things. The other tool that I have used that's very good, which lets you at least look at what's going on, is called PowerTop, and it lets you see what's using power. That would be useful for figuring out, well, what is going on when I'm sleeping that I am you know, losing juice. So
It should be called Tattletale.
Yeah, it kind of is a tattletale program. So I use PowerTop in conjunction with TLP. PowerTop will tell you what's going on, and then TLP will let you configure that to some degree. Both of those are very useful tools, and I highly recommend them.
I knew you'd have an answer for that one.
Well, it's every single person who's ever installed Linux on a Windows PC has had this problem. Mm-hmm. So I've spent a lot of time. The subreddits are fantastic for this. They're great Linux subreddits. You can go in there and ask the same question, and you'll get a bunch of experts saying, well, what I think you should do is this. But my distillation after years reading those subreddits is TLP. That's the tool you really want to install. Do you want to do another email? Do we have video, or should I take a...
I think we should go back to the call.
Question. Kevin's got his hand raised. Let me push this button and that button and see if I can put Kevin in the Stargate.
Hi there.
Hey, Kevin.
Hi, Kevin.
I'm good. Welcome. Yes. How are you? Welcome back, Leo.
I am great. You know what? It's funny. I'd have terrible jet lag. There's an 8 or 9 hour difference between where we were and where I am now. And we didn't have jet lag going or coming.
Nice.
So maybe because I sleep all the time now as an old person, I just don't have to worry about jet lag anymore. It's always nighttime. What can I do? What can we do for you?
Well, I think I was sleeping all the time running this M1 iMac. When I set it up for my wife, we didn't notice that all the documents and photos are all stored in iCloud.
Oh, I hate that.
Yes. And so we were pulling our documents down in a manner, and after a few months, I let this go on for probably about 6 months. I decided, well, I wanted to turn that off, but now I'm kind of halfway between there. So if I turn off iCloud and just sync my documents, or not documents, just the photos, and I want to keep documents down on the desktop, the whole desktop disappears. So is there some way where I can kind of suck this desktop down to where it is and then turn off the iCloud syncing, or what steps do I do?
This is something that both Microsoft and Apple now do that I think is confusing to people and very frustrating. But the reason they do it is because people don't back up.
Yep.
So they're going to back up for you, in effect. And if, you know, they tell you when you first set up your iMac, they said there was a little checkbox. Do you want to use iCloud for your desktop and your documents? And you didn't notice it. Most people don't. And you're getting behavior, and this happens on Windows too, that you don't expect. Fix this, Micah. Fix it.
Help me, Obi-Wan.
Help me.
So basically what you're wanting to do here, and I want to make it clear, Apple does have a process in place built in when you turn this off, where it will actually move those files that you are worried are going away to a different place. So I want to actually just go from this document, this Apple support document. What happens when you turn off desktop and documents? When you turn it off, your files stay in iCloud Drive and a new desktop and documents folder is created on your Mac in the home folder. You can move files from your iCloud Drive to your Mac as you need them, or just select all of them and move them to the desktop. So while that is what Apple suggests, I understand the anxiety that comes from turning that off and seeing things change and going, okay, did everything get copied over? So here's what I recommend. And let me be clear. You don't need to do this. You could do what Apple was just suggesting there, but I'm with you. I would want to make sure everything got moved over. So I would take everything that's on my desktop and move it to either an external drive, network attached storage. For a moment, you can move it into the downloads folder because the downloads folder is not synced. And oftentimes when there is a file that I don't want to sync to iCloud Drive, that's where I'll move it. Move those files temporarily. Now you've got them in that spot. Go ahead and turn that feature off. Turn off desktop and documents as syncing. And then what Apple's going to do is essentially create a copy of those files that are already synced. Those will be in that iCloud Drive you have online. And then wherever you put those files, whether it's in the downloads folder or in a flash drive, external storage, move those to the desktop if that's where you want them. Move those to the documents folder if that's where you want them. And from that point on, then they won't sync. I think why it looks so jarring and shocking whenever you turn it off and you said, it's like I have a new desktop, is that Apple wants to make it incredibly clear to you that you have turned this off. So it's like a refresh and this desktop is all brand new, but it is not as if those files are actually going away, because they knew that people would want to switch between having them turned on or turned off. So they are safe even if you just turn it off. But if you're like me and have a little bit of mistrust and want to make sure your files are there, just make a quick copy of them to somewhere else, and then you can move them over yourself afterwards.
And remember, if you're turning this off, you're no longer backing up. So now it's on you, man. You gotta have a backup strategy so you don't lose stuff.
Yes. Yeah. We had turned it off, and then so the desktop went to a default desktop.
Right.
And then I turned it back on, and then they were all there. And so I didn't know how to get out of this halfway
stage. I was just like you, and it drove me crazy for a long time. Finally, I just let go and let Apple.
Yep.
And I said, all right, fine. I'm going to leave it on. And it is useful if you have multiple Macs, because then you're going to have the same documents and the same desktop everywhere.
And there are times where I'm on my iPhone and I know I can hit that Files app, go to my documents folder, and it's the same one that I access on my Mac.
You have to pay for iCloud.
Yes,
it's going to use more than the free 5 gigs usually. And so, you know, that's the choice.
It's a give and a take, yeah.
I like the idea of my desktops and my documents duplicating. I don't want to necessarily trust Apple to do it. Plus, I'd use Linux and Windows, right? Mm-hmm. So what I end up doing is using a free open source program. This is much more complicated, but it kind of does the same thing called SyncThing. And I really recommend this because if you don't want to use iCloud and you don't want Apple to do it, SyncThing will do, in effect, the same thing, minus one piece, the cloud storage. But in a way, it is like backup if you have multiple machines, because then you, so for instance, I use SyncThing to backup a default sync volume. And by the way, I could put stuff like tax returns there because it's not nobody has access to it. It's not in the cloud. It's only on my systems.
Right.
So I use that for financial documents, things like that. I have a documents folder. I have a documents. I think my pictures folder. I have a handful of folders I duplicate. This is at no cost. It uses the internet to copy in the background. It's very efficient, very fast. This is kind of a black diamond tip. This is a higher level. You know, if you really, and I know there are people saying, well, I'm not going to use iCloud, but you got to back up. And this is an interesting way of keeping everything in sync without storing it in the third party cloud. So if you don't want to pay for the cloud or you don't want to do that, but frankly, I think for most people, what Microsoft does it with OneDrive.
Yep.
Apple does it with iCloud. What they're doing is, after many years of experience, people are going to lose their data. We're just going to make sure their documents are in the cloud, and that way they'll be okay. So I would just leave it on unless you're willing to take the extra time to learn some other system, and use it.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you for calling.
So it's okay.
Yeah, it's okay that it's happening.
It's okay to turn it off.
But now you've got a couple of options.
But it's on you, man. You got to back up. Yes.
Thank you, Micah. You got my, I know exactly what I need to do. Because we just want our documents and down here. We can back those up.
Yeah, exactly.
Good.
Okay.
Hey, a pleasure talking to you. Thanks for the call. Do I now in this new system, John, do I have to press any additional buttons or they just get hung up on? I have a hang up. Oh, I didn't see. There's a big red button that says hang up.
Hang up.
Well, there you go. That's what we got John for. Let's see. What time is it here? Oh, we got an hour left.
Yeah. You want to do an email?
Yeah.
All right. I think this is a good all-around question from Hugh. Hugh writes in, I've been using the Apple AirPort Extreme and Express for quite a while. I just switched from Xfinity to Fiber. I now have AT&T Fiber to my house. I chose to continue using the AirPorts with the AT&T box configured to be just a modem. I am currently happy with the AirPorts. Are there any reasons I should not be using these Apple routers? I know there is definitely more current technology out there, but these are working fine for me. Thanks. So
Apple discontinued those when?
Oh my gosh.
Like a decade.
A long time ago.
It feels like a really long time.
And I believe they just stopped issuing bug fixes.
That's a bigger issue.
That's the bigger problem.
Yeah. So although they're probably by now pretty reliable, nobody's going around saying, hey, where can I attack those AirPort routers? Because there are probably not very many of them. So I wouldn't worry. I mean, that's always the issues. There's two issues. Technology, as you mentioned, has passed you by. And security. Mm-hmm. A newer router would give you a later technology that might be more robust, that might be faster, that would certainly work better with newer Wi-Fi devices like Wi-Fi 6.
I don't think they support WPA3, right?
Oh, that's another issue. That's actually a significant security issue. I don't think Apple used WEP. I think Apple was always WPA, but make sure you're using WPA 2. Uh-huh. WPA 3 fixes, I consider a minor security problem in WPA 2. This is the encryption that you use on your Wi-Fi so that somebody sitting on the curb outside your house can't see everything that's going on. And you certainly want to use that. Has anybody looked up the dates of the last AirPort? It's been a while, and I'm kind of mad at Apple, honestly. I don't know why they got out of that business, but You know what the issues are. Technology has gotten better and faster, and security is now kind of questionable.
Yep.
There are, I think, some very good devices. One of the reasons I went with Ubiquiti, it was designed, it's the founders of Ubiquiti are former Apple engineers, and they really wanted to make something that was like the airport, but modern. And we've been very happy. This morning, Lisa said, the internet's really good. I said, yeah, it's a lot better than that hotel internet and the Wi-Fi on the boat. It is good. That's because I put a lot of effort and time into making it good.
The last Airport Extreme was introduced in June of 2013.
So it is 10 years.
And then it was officially discontinued in April of 2018, but there wasn't a new one introduced in the meantime. So yeah, it's been 10 years.
10 years old. Yeah, it's hard for me to recommend a 10-year-old router. It is a testament to Apple's quality control that it's still running, to be honest. Most, if you had a 10-year-old Linksys, yeah, I'd say you're probably not getting very good throughput on that thing because they wear out. I know there Mike B in the chat room hates me when
they
say
they get hot.
But the heat, that routers don't usually have fans in them. As you put bits through them, they heat up, and that actually degrades the quality, the performance. It can cause failure, but it also just can kind of screw it up. So I honestly, if it were me, I'd get a new one.
I would get a new one. I know that feeling of, oh boy, now I've got to set this. But in almost every case, I actually did this with mine when I switched from Airport Extreme to Eero. As long as the password and the Wi-Fi name were the same, many of the devices just moved right over to the different router. I didn't have any issues with just having it. So there wasn't a whole lot of setup that I had to do. There were a few that had some special authentication that I needed to do. But if you're worried that switching to a new router is going to mean having to completely reset everything, set everything up again, by having the same name and the same password, it made it quite simple to move over from an Airport Extreme to the Eero system. That's what I used.
Eero's very good. Eero also, I believe, was inspired by Apple.
In fact, I think that was part of the, former I remember Apple whenever guys. They had sponsored some of my shows, and I think that was part of the sort of pitch.
It is very much like an app. In fact, yeah, that would be the choice, I would say. Get an Eero. Yeah. Yeah.
Especially with the configuration.
And if you have a new iPhone or a new MacBook or even a new Windows machine, chances are it's using Wi-Fi 6 or later. There's Wi-Fi 6E, and I just saw that Wi-Fi 7 is coming. You're not getting all the throughput, all the quality. For instance, one of the things Wi-Fi 6 does is it kind of knows where you are in the house, and it tries to improve your it. There's just a lot of benefits to it. I didn't really explain that very well, did I?
No, but at the base level, it's smarter than it used to be.
Yes. There you go. That's a good way to put it. Unlike Leo. Nobody in the Zoom has their hand raised. If you want to call us, but if you want to talk, raise your hand.
Someone's raising their hand physically, good. But they're hidden behind lips.
Okay, physically raising your hand works also. That's good. There is a button, I believe. We'll put Ray on, and then everybody else, press the button to raise your hand. Call.twit.tv is the Zoom. Call.twit.tv. You can do that on your phone. It works great. Or your any device, your iPad. It works great, but you don't have to have a fancy setup. Don't forget, you can also email. Now it's ATG@twit.tv.
Yep.
Okay.
It's a lot of things. ATG@twit.tv.
It's a lot of things. ATGS, ATG, Ask the Tech Guy, Ask the Tech Guys. Email's a miracle. All right, Ray. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
I hear you great. Where are you calling from?
Oh, Northern Virginia. This is my second time calling your new format show.
Nova. Well, what's your problem today?
Well, I'm not sure if it's my problem, but normally I listen to the Twit Network on my iPhone through the Apple Music tune-in thing.
Yeah.
But lately, and it's been about the same time as you left on vacation, I get the certificate error.
Yeah, you know, when I go on vacation, everything just falls apart. I forgot to know.
I wasn't going to say anything.
Everything falls. No, certificate error, huh? So tell me again. Yeah. I don't really understand what you mean when you said that Apple thing tune in. How are you're using your phone?
Yeah, you know how it's an app. It's a built-in Apple app. It's the music. I guess
you're using the music app to listen, or is it the podcast? You want to listen live. So using the music app And and you're pointing it where? What are you pointing it at?
Well, you know how you can choose a radio station,
yeah.
And you put in twit.tv, and I think it just automatically starts playing. But recently, this has been happening
error.
with this network. And over the last year or so, I also like to listen to XPN.org, which is a NPR station, rock station out of Philadelphia, and that's had the same issue. So I can't figure out if it's and it's only on the cellular network. If I come home and I put my phone on the Wi-Fi,
that's a clue.
Then it works. But when I go out and I'm traveling and I have T-Mobile as a carrier, I've been experiencing this certificate error with the Twit network now.
Twit and another network. So,
well, the other network, yeah, I'm not, you know, it's hard for me to get on and talk with them about this. It's
But I think it's not our fault, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, we're just trying to look at all the data points
here. Because it works fine on Wi-Fi, and it's just on your T-Mobile it doesn't work. We do use TLS for our streaming as well as for the website. So that's why. So the way that works, SSL or secure websites work, is you have a certificate. We pay you a good, pretty penny actually for every year for that certificate that says, yes, this really is twit.tv. And that's the URL that you're streaming it from. But there are a number of reasons that you would get a report that the certificate is broken. It's not broken, I don't think. Patrick, is it broken? No, it's not broken.
Well, plus I just, before I came on with you guys, I wanted to test to see just to know that I was not talking, you know, out of where. I used Safari to go to the network, and I thought that there was some kind of it's almost like it's an unsecure site or something like
it. Yeah, that's what it is. That's exactly what you'd be getting. I just went to new.twit.am, which is the site we get it from. And I did not get an error. So the way this works is very complicated. The way this works is when you get a browser or an app like Apple Music or whatever, they have as part of the app, they have a certificate store where they say, well, these are the certificate authorities, the CAs, that we accept. This is important because they are trusting those certificate authorities. And so if that gets out of date, if, for instance, you had an old browser, you might get that error because they're not trusting the certificate authority that we're using or whatever. I'm trying to remember what we use for, I believe it's GoDaddy because we shopped it around and that was the cheapest one. So out of date stuff can do that. It's also the case that if a computer's clock is wrong, or I guess it's not going to happen with a phone, but if your clock was wrong, it could be, you know, the computer could think it's in the 1970s, as this show is. And then it would say, well, that certificate isn't good until the year 2020. That's a bad certificate. So no, both it's too old or it's too new. It's just not. The date and time aren't appropriate. But none of these things should affect a phone. Phone's going to...
I'm thinking...
It's not going to be T-Mobile.
It's using Let's Encrypt, by the way. I am thinking that T-Mobile has some sort of security package in place that is blocking an unsecure website because it's...
But you said Safari gave you that result as well on a...
It seemed like Safari did something today, but right before I came on with you guys, something... I wish I could have a snapshot and then send it to you. But and then even like a couple of weeks ago, I'm still perplexed by this problem. I downloaded Firefox because I thought it was maybe a Safari problem or something. And I was some kind of a sticky issue as well. So
you're still seeing that, you know, something like this site is insecure. That's commonly what you'll see.
Sometimes at work, I'll be able to I'll make the exception and let me go through on a certain site. But for these things on the phone...
Oh, no, you don't want to... Yeah.
So I just did this. It's interesting. There are two of the URLs that you can go to. You can actually go to http new.twit.am, da-da-da-da-da, and that's where
that
I was
first. That won't
work. And no, it worked. I was able to go there.
Oh.
But then if you put HTTPS, you can also go there, and then it is secure. It has the padlock. Everything is fine. So I'm wondering if TuneIn was, for some reason, streaming from the unencrypted... stream, and that was causing the error. Because yes, on this machine, I'm using Firefox, and if I delete the S at the end of HTTPS and I hit enter, I'm able to go to an unsecure version of it, and it is streaming the show.
And it didn't redirect it to HTTPS.
It did not. No.
And supposed to do that.
You know what's really weird, too? This is just all evidence that I collect as I'm going along. Last week, I tried it again because I keep thinking that it's something going on. And I, for the very first time that I've used this iPhone or even an iPad, I got a commercial, like an ad through TuneIn through that service. And when I tried to go to twit.tv, you know, through that service, I may have gotten the error, but I don't recall. But suddenly I was starting hearing a TuneIn ad. I'm like, why the hell am I hearing a TuneIn ad? I've never heard that before in my life.
Yeah, we don't control that. They can't do that, obviously.
Yeah. It's just really weird. Yeah.
I don't, you know, I hope Patrick's listening. Patrick Delahanty, who is our very talented engineer, he would know. Why do you say it's Let's Encrypt? Is it really Let's Encrypt?
That's what it said. Huh. Firefox was saying that.
Oh, yeah, you looked at the cert. Yeah. Okay. Oh, that's because it's twit.am. That's right. Yeah, twit.tv is what uses GoDaddy.
Got it.
Twit.am. Wow, I don't know what don't we use a third-party service now, John, for our Shoutcast streams, for our twit.am streams? We used to do that ourselves. We had a little box that would do an Icecast server. And I think now we use, and I don't remember the name of it, it could be that the people who are doing that are doing something. This is weird. A puzzle, though.
Yeah, it
the reason
is
we're kind of
for sure
fumbling
for sure,
around is we're not sure why that's happening. And it's not, by the way, it's not happening to me or you, right?
Yeah. And can you, the one question I do have is, you said that this error popped up. Did it pop up as a little prompt in iOS over the music app? How did you see that it was saying, you know, having a connection issue because the site's not secure or whatever?
It's, you know, it's like if I go back to when I was trying to get on xpn.org and then it would be in like the list of things that you can see in Apple Music or for the radio section, at least.
I didn't even know you could listen to us in Apple Music.
I just learned
this
that.
This is new. This
I
is
learned
new.
That last week. Well,
it's through TuneIn, I think.
Yeah, so it
maybe
is.
Maybe it's just a rerouting through TuneIn. And that might be the case with xpn.org. I get this error. It just says certificate error, and there's nothing I can do. It just say okay, and that's it. And that's it. It just doesn't play anymore.
This is on an iPhone or on an
iPhone. Yeah, it's always when I'm on the road. I'm trying to get these stations. I mean, I was just listening to you guys just early in March, so it's like I don't know what happened. There's been a couple of Apple OS updates since then. You know, 16.4. Whatever. So.
Yeah, I don't know. So I tried it both on Wi-Fi connected here, and then I did switch off mine. I'm on AT&T, and I was still able to access the TuneIn station of TwitLive via Apple Music.
So one possibility is not to use Apple Music.
Yeah, you could
but to try correctly. Downloading the TuneIn app and seeing there. We don't have a Twit app. This is always something I always. We cut our opportunity kind of.
You guys used to. I've been tracking you guys for years.
Well, we didn't make it.
I was on the iPad.
Very nice guy made it for us. Craig Mullaney. I don't know. There are many ways you could listen. So I understand. Try TuneIn. You can, there's VLC for the iPhone, isn't there? Because you can manually enter the address, which is a somewhat long address. We use Broadcasts.
ICS app.
VLC. I see. That's an interesting concept.
Yeah, VLC, you'd need the address, which is ready. new.twit.am/radio/8000/radio/8000/listen. That seems like too much.
Yeah, that was.
Oh yeah, I got all that.
I'm not sure why it doubles that radio 8000 and all of that. No, maybe he missed. Maybe that was a mistype. Try this: new.twit.am/radio/8000/listen.
Okay,
I think that'll work. Yeah, that works.
That's what I was going.
He doubled it up. That was my. I would look at somebody in IRC.
Okay.
New.twit.am/radio/8000/listen.
Okay.
What do you, if I turn this on, get ready for some weird
AM/radio.
Yeah, it's a looping thing. Yeah. Feedback thing.
What do you, but it's not giving me a certificate error. So that's good news. But see, it's jumping back and forth now. I don't know what's going on.
I think that's just a poor UI for a live stream. I think that's just a weird.
Okay, it's a bad player.
Yeah, bad player.
You know, you can always go to the website, twit.tv.
twit.tv/live.
Yep, twit.tv/live.
That'll give you, and what it does, by the way, is it redirects to whatever that crazy URL I was saying is.
I'll try everything.
Do that in the browser on your iPhone. That should
work. Streaming directly from Icecast, from TuneIn, or from Spreaker.
Spreaker, that's
Spreaker.
Right.
Spreaker.
Spreaker. I forgot about them. So let me just see. I'll just do this. Let's launch Safari on my iPhone. I am also on T-Mobile.
Oh, good.
By the way, so this will be a good test. I'm going to go to twit.tv/live. That's going to give us a website where you can then choose which live stream you want to listen to. So I'm now on the website, and I can listen.
Can we show the over? Thank you.
Yeah, can you show this? Oh, there it is. Okay.
Oh, yeah, cool.
So I'm going to choose either TuneIn, Spreaker, or Icecast. I like Icecast. Let's go with Icecast, see if I can hear anything. Didn't do nothing. I don't know what.
You might have scrolled down the page too far.
Did I go too far?
Well, yeah.
Did maybe I screw if you it up?
It's there. Yeah, there it is.
Okay, now go there.
Oh, no, you were in the right spot.
Oh, my driver's license. Let's hide that.
That's okay.
I used to have something else in front of that. Let's put a business.
It's like you've been traveling and needed your license.
I needed my license. Okay, let's see if I hear it. I think I hear it. I feel it. It's vibrating. Well, I'm not getting an error. That's one thing. Anyway, you could try that. That'll use the website. Okay. And then at least we know that's going to be the most up-to-date place for it, right?
Okay. I will check it out.
Yeah. Huh.
All right.
And
because I miss you guys. I listen to first thing in the morning. I know you guys are looping the different playbacks with shows and things. And so it's kind of a crude way. I'm not too interactive by doing a podcast thing, like the podcast thing, apps that you guys suggest all the time. But it's almost like I'm just used to that radio mode. I play it, I hit play, and it's like, it just plays.
Yeah. And we want, when we first started podcasting, these 19 years ago, we thought, actually it was 18 years ago. We had just had our 18th anniversary. Did you know that?
Yeah.
John, did you do anything? Did you have a cake here or anything on April 17th? No, nothing. Nothing. Didn't do nothing. Lisa and I drank a toast of champagne.
Nice.
That was our 18th anniversary of the launch of Twit. Which is kind of mind-boggling.
That's a long time.
Jeez. My concern was, this is too hard. Because at the time, you may remember this, you had to download it in iTunes. Then you had to hook it up to your iPod. Then you had to sync it up to your iPod. Then you play it off of your iPod. It was just too hard. And I always said, as soon as it's as easy as radio, podcast is going to be something. Well, it should be. It is now, yeah, I think, as easy as radio. Mm-hmm. But maybe not for everybody. Maybe not as easy as it ought to be. Really, truthfully, what we should have done is made an app. Now, my suggestion to you, once you've got what you want, is you can use Safari and make that icon on your home screen. So all you have to do is and it'll just launch up. And I think that that's probably the best I can offer. We, at one point, commissioned a company, how much did we spend? I think $70,000 for an app, and it was unusable.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They were doing an Android and iOS version, and it was unusable. And I thought at the time, this is about 10 years ago, that really the future of podcasting of any kind of media was that you'd have an icon on the smartphone screen. Yep. It wasn't the website. It was an icon. Mm-hmm. That's what people want. They want to push a button and just like radio, and it just plays. We never were really able to do that. Thanks to Craig and other people who Houdini7 was his chat room, who volunteered their time and made these apps. We had some apps for a while, but most of them have gone out of date, and maybe it's time for us to figure out some better way to do this. But for now, what I would do is go to the website, get the stream going, then press the share button.
Yeah, I was going to say, can we show my screen? I'm on AirPlay 1. So we are going to do this
together.
We'll
show you how to do it. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. You want to go, you can go.
Yeah, you don't have to stick around.
I get the feeling you want to get out of here.
Yeah, you can drop me off and I'll just watch
all right
here.
Yeah, we'll figure it out here. Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Great to talk to you. And thank you for bringing this to our attention, because we do want to make this as easy as you know, listen to the radio. It should be. There's no reason not. Especially the live stream, right? We do live video. We're one of the few podcast networks that does live video and audio at all times. So you're on the website now. So you went to twit.tv and Safari.
Yes. And I'm going to go to now, just so that people knew that, we're going to go to twit.tv/live.
Okay.
And then we're going to hit the share sheet button at the bottom of the screen. And then we're going to scroll down until we see something that says add to home screen.
You got a lot of stuff on your share sheet.
I do. I'll tap add to home screen. And we're going to change that name from that very long text to just be twit on its own. I'll tap done there. And now you can see.
It's like an app.
There's Twit.
Now, what that does is brings up this interface. Could you do the same thing if you then chose, like now,
if I were to go here and
choose an audio stream and then share it? Could you get it so that you just tap the icon and it starts playing? That's what we want.
Let's see.
Okay, now there's the player.
Let's do that.
Now share that
screen. And we'll just call that the Twit live stream. That's fine. Now, if I tap on this, yeah, it will. And then I do need to hit the play button, but.
Well, there's even a way if you change the URL.
Oh, yeah, where it could automatically.
You can have it autoplay.
But
that's another black diamond tip. But what is it saying now?
It says, hear what you want, where and when you want. Download the tune. So TuneIn is constantly trying to get you to download.
So don't use TuneIn.
Yeah, that's TuneIn. Let's try Icecast.
Should have no commercialization. Also has a crappy player, though. That was that weird player.
Yeah, it was a strange.
Yeah, it may not even
and
be working.
It takes a while to load, too.
So if you make that on your home screen, it'll have the nice Twit-like icon, which is great. And then you should be able to just tap that and have it start playing. Or maybe you have to press the play button. That's TuneIn, but that's fine.
Yeah, I didn't make it with Icecast because it hadn't fully loaded. But there you go. You get an idea of how easy it can be. And then because
you shouldn't have to do that, I agree. But
because of the way that iOS works, or macOS or iPadOS, it will actually just play that stream in the background while you go and do other things, which is nice.
Not quite as easy as listening to the radio. Not yet. But hey, we're only 18 years old.
How old is radio?
How old's radio? Exactly. The first 18 years of radio, you had to pump pedal a bicycle and wear a special helmet to listen. So, you know, it just takes a
while.
Time. Our show today, you see the sign here, ACI Learning, they sponsor our studio. You may say, well, who are these ACI Learning people when they're at home? Who are they? Well, you know IT Pro. IT Pro has been a part of Twit since they started 10 years ago. Now, IT Pro is part of ACI Learning, which means they have even more resources to help you learn. There's your beautiful Gainesville studio. We've been there. We love it. You have even more resources for learning, not only on demand, live, over the internet. You also now have in-person learning hubs. And of course, they've got more skills to teach you. Audit Pro. They've got practice labs. This is really a great partnership. And now here's something I really want to tell you about. If you're a military or ex-military, if you're a vet, this is for you. Military members are some of the most tech-savvy people on the planet. You often get to use some of the latest, newest technology that we haven't even seen yet. But transitioning into civilian life can always be maybe a little bit of a challenge. I want to give you a little invite from ACI Learning. ACI Learning is so proud of their track record supporting veterans who want to choose a tech career as they muster out and start their civilian life. And veterans, we know you are the best possible employees, right? Uniquely qualified for tech positions. You use some of the most advanced technology in the world. And of course, talk about security. There's nobody better at it than the military. Many service members know how already to protect systems from attacks, makes working in tech perfect for their experience. But how do you get that job? ACI Learning. Go.acilearning.com/twit. They've got special benefits for vets. And you can decide what area you want to do, of course. Cybersecurity, the average salary for cybersecurity specialists now is $116,000. ACI Learning's information security analyst and cybersecurity specialist programs are a great way for veterans to start their careers, or maybe you're more inclined towards network administration. The average salary for an entry-level network administrator, $75,000, and it's only up from there. ACI Learning's Network Support Specialist Program gives you the training you need to pursue or advance a career in networking, preparing you to take that CCNA cert, which is so important for that first job. Or maybe you want to get the CompTIA certs, like their Security Plus and Network Certification exams. There's also IT Project Management. The average salary of an IT project manager, $105,000 annually. The ACI Learning Senior Technology Project Manager Program certifies students in the skills they need to become project managers. And that's just a couple of the many ways you can get into IT. Whatever your desire, ACI Learning offers fully customizable training for all kinds of learners, whether you prefer it in person, on demand, or remote. There are several programs available for vets who want to fund their education. If you want to learn more about IT training and the funding available for you, go to acilearning.com/veteran-IT-training. Did you get that? acilearning.com/veteran-IT-training. This is such a great program, and we're really proud of what ACI and IT Pro have done to really help veterans as they begin their civilian careers. Of course, there's more than that. There's great team training at ACI Learning for teams of 2 to 1,000. There's volume discounts starting at just 5 seats. You get a free 2-week trial for training your team. This month is a great month. In fact, this week is a great week. April 24th, that's tomorrow, through the 27th, IT Pro wants to connect with you there at RSA. Here in San Francisco, right? Is it in San Francisco again this year? IT Pro, Audit Pro, and Practice Labs now training the modern workforce together is ACI Learning. Go visit the ACI Learning booth. It's number 2429 at RSA. They've been going to RSA for years. We always used to get together with them at RSA. It was so much fun. Don and Tim and the whole IT Pro gang. Choose a career to support your goals. Let ACI Learning get you started. ACI Learning and Twit TV would like to thank our veterans and active duty service members for your service to our country. We are so grateful, and we thank you, but also we offer you this great opportunity. Remember, vets, it's acilearning.com/veteran-IT-training. Our military uses some of the most advanced technology in the world, which makes you veterans uniquely qualified for IT and cybersecurity positions. And for everybody, you can go to ACI Learning's website and learn about their options across audit, IT, cybersecurity readiness at go.acilearning.com/twit. And we do have an offer code TWIT30 for 30% off. That's for a standard or premium individual IT Pro membership. ACI Learning, thank you so much for supporting us and our work here. We're trying to teach people too. You do such a great job. I invite you to go to the website, go.acilearning.com/twit to learn more. And don't forget TWIT30, the offer code. Thank you, ACI Learning. We appreciate it. I see no hands raised, but Arizona Lou's been hanging out in there. I'm going to guess that Arizona Lou wants to say hi. He's just shy. You know how shy?
Yeah.
He's a very retiring, quiet, shy kind of guy.
Can't imagine him ever on a stage.
No. Lou, are you there? Maybe he really is shy. maybe he really is quiet.
Oh, we got audio.
Do we?
Oh, I thought we did.
Maybe this is just me snarfing. Well, if you decide to be less shy, you can come on in.
There is a good email question.
Do you say veteran or veteran?
Oh, I say both.
Eric Duckman says, when did veteran become two syllables?
I think I've said, it depends on how quickly I'm attempting veteran to speak.
I say veteran.
I think I say veteran, yeah, mostly.
Is it the Veterans Day Parade or
Veterans Day Parade? It's elementary, know. My dear Watson.
I don't know. By the way, new study in from the American Association for the Advancement of Retired People, AARP, over 50 gamers feel overlooked.
Aw.
Aw.
Actually, I could see that. What games are they playing, though?
Candy Crush Saga? I'd overlook you, too.
Aw.
No. AARP counts 52.4 million Americans who are over 50 and play games at least once a month.
What games? Are they playing Call of Duty?
No, I don't. Well, I don't know. You know what? Isn't Paul Theroux over 50? I believe he had a birthday, didn't he?
Oh, wait.
I think he's over 50. So welcome to the AARP, Paul. And I hope you don't feel overlooked. I see somebody in our Zoom call that we always want to talk to.
It's the main man.
It's the guy from Maine, Mr. Micah, the other Micah. Hi, Micah. Uh-oh. I don't hear you.
We don't hear you.
That's because I didn't unmute. It was operator error.
You know, Micah, it's funny. For years I did radio and people would meet me and they go, oh, you don't look at all like you sound. And I would say, no, I don't. You sound so good looking. And I say, oh. No, I know. I'm just me. But it's the same for you, Micah. I, for years, have talked to you on the phone. I never saw you until we started doing this with Zoom. And I love you. I love your voice. And it's just, it doesn't match the picture the same as, I guess,
in your head. You had invented.
You have to invent somebody if you only hear their voice, right? Yeah. You invent a face.
That's the way it goes. You know, when I first met Gene Shepherd, I felt the same way.
I
met him and had, you know, I was able to have lunch with him one time. And
so jealous.
It was just fabulous. But, you know, he didn't look anything like what I expected. But what an amazing radio guy. I mean, nobody better under any circumstances.
He was very much, and we've talked about this before, so I don't want to repeat, but very much an influence on me. I remember being under the covers in Providence, Rhode Island, listening, because it was past my bedtime, to the great, late, great Gene Shepherd on WOR radio. And you know, the horses would go clop, 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 and he'd play that silly song, and then he'd come on and tell stories. He became very famous thanks to A Christmas Story, which is yearly Christmas movie that he narrates, and it's from his stories he used to tell on the radio.
From his book, In God We Trust, All Others Pay Cash.
I'm so jealous that you actually met the guy. I mean, he's a hero. Absolutely.
It was mine too. A fabulous, fabulous experience. Yeah. And I am so lucky. And by the way, and you know, I used to do radio as you know, and I did for radio for a local radio, public radio station. And I used to, you know, I did music. And so I would introduce a lot of concerts on stage in some of the big theaters here in Portland. And I would always say, yeah, I know. I don't look like what I sound like. In fact, you know, when you get on stage, it adds 50 pounds to you at least.
I'll have to steal that line. There is this thing that happens. Everybody in radio knows it, where you meet somebody and they go, oh, and their face falls. Because it's not so much that, you know, you're not attractive or whatever. It's just that they had a picture in their head of what you looked like.
And exactly. It's like when you read it, you listen to an audiobook, and, you know, a lot of times I'll be listening to an audiobook and I'll have the book with me because, you know, there's times I can't listen and I want to read. But as soon as I start reading the book, that same voice that I was listening to comes into my head, and that's who's reading to me.
Yes. And in fact, if you're a really good writer, that even happens. You know, I worked for years with John C. Dvorak, who's was this legendary computer columnist, and somehow his voice, every time I'd read his columns, I'd hear his voice because he wrote in his voice. So you can even write in your own voice. It's kind of an interesting thing. Anyway, Michael, what can we do for you? By the way, I flew on the trip 787. And you told me that would be a much better flight in the 787 because, I don't know,
reasons.
Carbon fiber and better pressurization or something. And it was a very
more nice, moisture in the air. And
more
was
moisture.
It? That's one of the reasons why I called. I wanted to know how you liked it.
I really liked it. They call that the Dreamliner?
It is the Dreamliner. Yes, it is. And it's carbon fiber fuselage. And because of that, they can pressurize it to a lower altitude. You can have more pressure inside the plane. They can keep more moisture inside the plane. And you're less likely to have jet lag, or the jet lag won't affect you quite as much. It's also very quiet, at least from my perspective.
Well, I was thinking maybe that's why I didn't have any jet lag. But then I realized, well, only one of the three legs that we flew was in a 787. The other two were in the A330, the Airbus. And I don't think that is quite as good for your jet lag.
No, it's, I mean, the Airbus is a fine aircraft, very comfortable, and you can't say anything bad about it necessarily, but it's not quite the same as a 787, which would be my choice to fly any place that I could.
Yeah, we liked
in
it.
In terms of quality.
I always know I'm on a 787 because they don't have, you know how you get an airplane, Micah, you've never flown anywhere, but You know how you get on an airplane and they have, when you close the windows, they have a plastic, little cheesy little plastic thing you slide down.
Do they?
Yes. You'll learn someday. Yeah. They slide down. But on the 787, they got some magical, wacky glass in the windows. You press a button and it darkens and then, or lightens, and you can choose how much of that you want.
That's cool.
And so you always know you're in a 787 because the windows are also bigger and then they're tinted.
And the flight attendants can control all of them, which they do, because that way they can darken the cabin at night so that everybody can sleep and it kind of quiets things down. But the last time I was flying on a 787, I was flying to the UK and it was night and I had my window seat. I was very comfortable in business class. And I said, you know, I know that we're over the ocean and I know that it's night, but I really like looking at the stars. And the flight attendant was kind enough to give me control of my
window. Oh, that's nice.
Window, which was great.
Yeah, I like to control my window. I really, I do. But I also hate it when it is bright daylight out and you're trying to sleep and somebody says, no, I want to see where I am. It's clouds, buddy. It's just clouds. I did bring along with me on the trip my Aeronet carbon dioxide sensor. I don't know if I've talked about that with you before.
I do recall you speaking about it. Did you notice any differences?
You know, I'm kicking myself because I forgot to look at it on the 787, but I did on this, on the A330, and it was 1,545 parts. I guess it's parts per million of carbon dioxide, or parts per thousand. Can't be parts per thousand because there'd be no air in it at all. So it must be parts per million. But that's very high. That's almost to the OSHA level of, you know, that's dangerous. But what it does do is makes you sleepy and kind of groggy. And I've noticed that on every other airplane I've flown. Darn it, I wish I'd done it on the 787. But it's not that the air is bad. It's just that it's not as much oxygen as the air in the air as you would like when you were outside, where it would be more like 300, 400, 500.
It's stuffy, but it's stuffy. Because you're at a lower altitude, or rather a higher altitude when you're in there.
Yeah.
You're at I can't remember what they pressurize to, but it's a much higher altitude than what you would get where you are pretty much at sea level or close, much closer to it. That's for sure.
Yeah,
but that's not why I called.
Yes, please go right ahead.
No, I called to help the last caller.
Oh.
You know, I'm a radio guy, as you know, and I love to listen to the radio. And here I am in Portland, Maine, but I don't like Portland radio. You know, the local radio to me just isn't what I would like to listen to. So I listen to WNYC out of New York. I listen to a lot of NPR. I listen to KQED all the time.
Great station, yes.
KUOW, another great NPR station out of Seattle. Now, I do a couple of things. My favorite thing and the best toy that I've ever purchased is the C. Crane Wi-Fi radio.
Yes.
Which
Bob Crane is a good friend, and they really make a great little radio. And what I love about Bob is that remember when the internet directory of radio stations went out of business? I can't remember the name of it.
I can't remember the name of that directory, but the original C. Crane Wi-Fi radio used that, and it went out of business. And anybody who had bought that radio from him within the first year just got a brand new one, the Wi-Fi Radio 3.
Isn't that great?
And if you had the old one, he'd give you, I think he gave you a $50 discount on the new one, which was just
wonderful. I really appreciated that. That was a kind of a crisis for a lot of people who used Wi-Fi radios, is that the directory stopped working and the radio had no way of going to the newer directory. Bob also worked with others to create this new directory that they use now, that this isn't going to happen again. So I was very proud of what C. Crane did to stand behind their customers.
And the new directory is called SkyTunes. And
SkyTunes, that's it.
I'm listening to you on it right now. You're listed in there, as are most all the other radio stations that I like. I haven't had any problem finding them. I can even listen to Rich if I want to, who does the Saturday show.
Who? Who's that? I don't know. The name doesn't ring. No, I'm just kidding. Rich is doing great with that show.
He's doing a good job.
Yeah.
Different show than what you do. And, you know, people like different things.
To be fair, it's probably a better show for radio stations. It's a more broad show. And as you know, we get pretty geeky.
We get geeky.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, it uses SkyTunes, which is great. But what Bob also did is he set it up so that you can plug in your own URL. And so if you have
a good solution.
And if SkyTunes goes out of business, you can plug in the URL directly and you'll still be able to listen. So it's a wonderful way to listen to radio from all over the world. A friend of mine does a radio show in the UK. I can listen to him over here and which is just great. But that's what I use. And then the other thing that I use is I'll always use my phone, and the radio stations, all of them that I listen to, have apps. And so it's easy to do it on an app. It's not always easy to do it on Safari or on iTunes, but it's easy to download the app if you have the room on the phone and it works. And now I don't know where it's coming from, but I have a Twit live stream app that maybe I created by just downloading a link from Safari, but it says Twit live stream on my phone. And every time I open it up, there you are.
You don't even remember how you did it, but it still works.
It's there. Don't question it. It might go away.
We did cause a problem a few years ago. We switched the URL because we were switching providers, and it was kind of a mess. But I think it's settled down now. That's why it says new.twit.am for the stream. There is a great, somebody in the chat room is reminding me, and I appreciate it. Thank you, Doug M., about the site I'd mentioned before, radio.garden. I don't know if you've ever seen this. If you like internet radio, this is a website where you can go anywhere in the world. It's a world map with green dots for radio stations all over the world.
Wow.
And you just click any of those green dots, and suddenly you're listening to radio in that part of the world, which is really amazing. Station is unreachable. Well, maybe not every green dot. Let's pick a different green dot. We're listening to Orange 94.5 FM, which is also unreachable. All right, I'm going to leave Africa now. I don't know. Maybe there's something going on. But this is a really cool site, radio.garden. And if you're just new to the idea of listening to, I used to, and I'm sure, Micah, you remember this, listen to shortwave radio all the time. And I always thought it was so cool that I could tune in a radio station out of Moscow and be listening to Russian and stuff like that. This is kind of like that for the internet era. You can just basically, without any special hardware, use your browser and go to any radio station in the world. Not all of them stream. I have to say, having listened now to radio in Italy, that's crazy stuff. Those Italians, they have crazy stuff.
Alla campagna contro il brigantaggio, quindi il posto.
That's a good way to learn a language.
That's exactly what I was thinking about. Yeah.
It is. When I lived in Mexico, I used to listen to radio down there. Very, very different. But radio is a beautiful thing, because radio, different than any other medium. Well, podcasting is along the same lines, but it's intimate, you know? Mm-hmm. When you're listening to radio, when I'm listening to you, you're talking to me. Now I know you're talking to millions of other people, but when I do radio, I know that whoever I'm talking to, they think or they feel that it's me that's talking.
That's
to
why
them.
It's a wonderful.
I'm only
meeting.
Talking to them, yeah. And that's what makes it so beautiful.
I agree,
and that's why when I write and I do pieces for radio for the Airplane Geeks or for the Airline Pilot Guy or for Plane Talking UK or for The Journey is the Reward. When I do pieces about it, I'm writing like I'm talking directly to one person. And that's how you have to think about it. You're talking to one person and let everybody else listen. And it's just a wonderful, intimate, beautiful experience.
Yeah.
And you can do it and listen to it while you're doing a lot of other things, which just doesn't happen with TV.
Look,
TV
I got Radio Vatican.
Oh,
the Vatican City. I wonder if Robert's on it. He should be doing a show.
That would be cool.
On the Vatican.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Wouldn't that be great? Oh, it's a little peaceful music. People ask me if I ran into Robert while we were in Rome. It's very sad. Robert returned from the U.S. He was in the U.S. for NAB and visiting his family. And he returned the night before we left. And we had to leave at like 6 a.m.
Dang
it. We got back at 8:30 p.m. So we just like ships that pass in the night.
Exactly.
We missed each other, which is too bad because he was going to give us a great tour
of
the Vatican Museum. Micah, always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Great speaking with you. Thank you for having me on. And I hope that information helps the last caller who was looking to find
it's
ways
a good,
to,
it's a good tip.
To listen.
Yeah. And those, I'll agree, those CC radios are fantastic from ccrane.com. We tried to get Bob to buy ads on the Tech Guy for 19 years. And he said, why should I? You just plug me for free. I don't need an ad. Thank you very much.
Oh, that's funny. Okay,
fine.
He's not only a nice guy, he's a smart guy.
He's a good business person.
Business guy.
Yeah, no, I like Bob. In fact, when I announced the retirement, I immediately got a phone call. To say goodbye. Thank you, Micah. Have a great evening, and we'll talk to you again soon, I hope.
Take care.
Beautiful downtown Maine. Oh, my. You know, I think we've gone through all the calls. Do you have another email for us, Micah?
And I love this one for, I think it applies to a lot of people. Jerry has written in and said, I have an embarrassingly large number of Sonos V1 hardware that I have not used in a long time. Is it still any good, or should it go to the crusher?
Oh, don't get me started on this.
Don't get him started.
Don't get me started. I, too, have a lot of V1 Sonos gear. Yeah, it's still good. It still works. However, you have to use the old Sonos app. And it won't work with the new V2 Sonos stuff. And there's stuff the V2 does that's different from the stuff the V1 does. So the way Sonos handled this, I guess they did the best they could. They needed to upgrade the technology. And here's the problem, and it's just a general problem and something, maybe a lesson learned here. Mm-hmm. A speaker doesn't ever go bad, right? You can break it, but it's not going to go bad. And music's going to sound good through it for as long as you have it. The problem is when you tie a speaker to internet, to a computer, in effect, with internet access and software and so forth, that's going to get obsoleted. And just like this is the same problem with these Wi-Fi radios. Mm-hmm. They were dependent on a directory that went out of business. They got obsoleted. The radio's still good. All the everything in there is still good. The speaker's still good on all the Sonoses. They make nice speakers. But they had to upgrade. So they offered people, I think, kind of a pathetic discount on getting the new speakers. It bothered me. If you decided you wanted to take that, they would brick those speakers, which I think is, I mean, you could still use it as a speaker, I guess, but they would brick the hardware in it. I don't think it was handled well. It really made me angry. I have given away all my old Sonos stuff. You got some of it. And you can still use it, right?
Yeah. It still works. I was able to connect with it and it all played. I think that you are spot on. It's almost a disappointment that in the back of those Sonos speakers, there aren't just standard hookups.
That's right. That's the real problem. If it just had a little, so I could hook a speaker wire into it, then it'd be a speaker.
Speaker wires on there.
But there's no easy way to get into those.
No. You'd have to disassemble it. Yes.
John, we're all V1 here, right?
Yeah.
And we use it. It's fine. John, you know, we got, when we built the brick house years ago, Sonos gave us some, and then we bought Sonos gave us six speakers. Wow, that's nice.
Six, play five.
Six play fives.
And one play one.
And one play one. And we have since added more, but there's a Sonos speaker in. No, we haven't? Oh, okay. I thought we had. There's a Sonos speaker in it pretty much everywhere. When John's alone here in the studio, John Slonina, he'll put a little Humphreys McGee on and the whole studio rocks. all the offices rock. We should get some more. I didn't know. So you don't have one in every room, huh? No. At home, do you have Sonos, John, as well? No. It's hard for me. And I like something. Sonos has just put out some new speakers that are really good. They're a little pricey.
Yeah.
It kind of hurts my heart. I don't know if I really want to invest in Sonos anymore.
You have a lack of trust there because they did break the trust, I think. And I will say, so their most recent announcement has to do with the commercial aspect. So they are really focusing on businesses right now. And I remember going into San Francisco, I don't know, about a month ago. We went to a few different places and every single place, how are they playing music in their
Sonos?
Place? Sonos speakers.
Interesting.
Because it's very easy in a small shop to just have one Sonos, like Play One or whatever it is, plugged in.
Yeah.
And then because they have good sound and good enough amplification, then you were able to hear it throughout the whole space. And so now they have I think it's a subscription service that businesses can use to have kind of the latest Sonos technology added to their spaces.
So. Yes, Beth. So it's like Muzak.
Yeah.
People don't really often know this, but you're not supposed to just turn on the radio in your place of business and let the music play.
Oh, yeah. Isn't it not technically?
Well, what the guys from ASCAP BMI, the licensing guys, they actually have people that go around to stores and say, you know, you can't do that. You're going to have to give us some money now.
Wow.
So Muzak, that's where Muzak came. It was licensed music, originally terrible licensed music. Now they have better music that you would pay a fee. So Sonos is basically getting in that business. You have to buy the Sonos hardware, but then it's $35 a month and you can use it in different stores and stuff. And I think that's actually a great solution. You don't have to worry about licensing. The artists are going to get paid for the music you're playing, which is right. Or at least their labels will. Which is the right thing to do. So I, you know, good on them. I don't hate, I'm not mad at Sonos.
Right. Yeah.
It's just, I can't, I want to buy it, but I can't. So now I buy speakers that are speakers with hookups in the back. And when the hardware gets obsoleted, I'll get new hardware, but those speakers are going to
Speakers work. Still work. Yeah. Still work. They sound great.
Do you have another one? We have a few minutes left. If you have another one we could do.
I don't have one. So okay. I guess this is a great time to say, if you would like to have your question answered on Ask the Tech Guys, please send in your question to, ask at twit.tv. No, send it into ATG at twit.tv, please.
We shortened it. So
yes, made it easy for you. And if you do a little mistyping, maybe that you have two T's in there, or maybe you write out, we tried to make it.
Really? Like every possible?
All of the.
Ask the Tech Girls.
Well, I don't know about that one.
Ask the Tech Maronis.
Although,
anything.
If Patrick's listening, then he's quickly adding all of those so that we get them.
You know, it's easy. Ask ATG.
Yeah, ATG.
At twit.tv.
At twit.tv. And
send us video.
Please, exactly. Consider sending video. We'll have a video question for next time. I saw kind of fly in at the last minute. Good. It just takes us a minute to check it, make sure everything's good to go there. And you can do that from your phone. You don't have to do the whole production. We've seen, while you were gone, there was someone who had sort of edited together this there were multiple moving clips, and you can do that if you
do.
It's fun.
You don't have to.
It's great to display your art, but yeah, don't feel like you need to become a cinematographer in order to ask your question. We're okay with just getting standard questions as well.
Love that. We appreciate it. We also want to thank our Club Twit members for making this show possible. We now have 3 ads on this particular episode.
Yeah.
But as you remember, when we started, we didn't have any. The reason we can launch new shows like this, like This Week in Space, there are some shows by this guy Micah over here. There's the Hands-On Macintosh that don't have any ad support is thanks to our club members who put their money in. And you know, it's $1 less than a blue check on Twitter, and you get so much more. If you'd like to join Club Twit, go to twit.tv/club. We now have family plans.
Yeah.
We have business plans, individual plans. The individual plan starts at $7 a month. You can put in more. What do you get? Ad-free versions of all of our shows. You get access to the Club Twit Discord, which I have to admit, as I was traveling, I was jonesing a little bit. I got into that Discord whenever I could because I missed the social element there. It's not just chat about the shows. It's topics that geeks like, everything from beer to coding to comics to hardware, IoT, pets. You know, you ask questions of the tech guys, but you can get some pretty good answers in our Club Twit Discord. That's part of your membership. You also get the Club Twit feed, which has Hands-On Macintosh, Hands-On Windows with Paul Thurrott, the Untitled Linux show, Scott Wilkinson.
Yeah, if you're curious about Leo's TV.
Yeah, then Scott's brought back. Thank you, Scott. Home Theater Geeks. Right now, club only. Twit.tv/clubtwit. There's a lot of content. There's a lot of fun in there, and it really helps us keep this show on the air. We love the club, and we thank you all for supporting us. I think we're out of time. We got to turn the set around.
Turn the set around.
Because This Week in Tech is coming up next. But I want to thank you, Micah Sargent, for spending some time your Sunday afternoon. Thanks to all of our listeners as well. You can watch us do Ask the Tech Guys every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. That's 2 to 5 Eastern time. That is 1800 UTC. The stream, as we've mentioned, is live.twit.tv or twit.tv/live audio or video. Of course, we make it a podcast, so you can listen at any time at your leisure after the fact by just going to twit.tv/ATG. You can even go to the old techguylabs.com. That goes right there directly as well, techguylabs.com. The show notes will be there. We put links there, information. There's a transcript there, audio and video from all the shows. That's all on the website, twit.tv/ATG. There's also a YouTube channel dedicated to Ask the Tech Guys. You can watch the video there after the fact. And you could subscribe in your favorite podcast client. That's another good way. You'll get it automatically the minute it's available. So great to be back. I missed you all.
I'm so glad you're here.
Yeah. I really love doing this and all of the shows we do. I don't have a hard schedule, you know. I think I could do this for a while.
Good.
I think I could keep doing this for a while. I have to say, no more long trips in the plan. We canceled all the long trips. I don't want to spend the money, and I don't want to hurt the environment. I have to really think about, you know, what's the best way to travel in the future. So we really, one of the reasons I paid a lot of attention on this trip is I thought this could be the last time You know, I do this for some time. So, yeah, I'll be here for a while. Sorry. Mike is just waiting for me to
give him
the keys and go off in the sunset. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time on Ask the Tech Guys.
Bye-bye.
Hey, we should talk Linux. It's the operating system that runs the internet, a bunch of game consoles, cell phones, and maybe even the machine on your desk. You already knew all that. What you may not know is that TwitNow has a show dedicated to it, the Untitled Linux Show. Whether you're a Linux pro, a burgeoning sysadmin, or just curious what the big deal is, you should join us on the Club Twit Discord every Saturday afternoon for news, analysis, and tips to sharpen your Linux skills. And then make sure you subscribe to the Club Twit exclusive Untitled Linux Show. Wait, you're not a Club Twit member yet? Well, go to twit.tv/clubtwit and sign up. Hope to see you there.